This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge.
Paul Perillo.
Fragile. That must be Italian.
I think that says fragile.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy. And Andy?
Andy, don't play with your food. Eat it.
Andy Hart.
Andy, show me how the piggies eat. Eat it, boy. Show mommy how the piggies eat.
Some guy named Tom.
He looks like a deranged Easter bunny. He looks like a pink nightmare.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Holy smokes, only one thing in the world could have dragged me away from the soft glow of electric sex gleaming in the window.
PFW in Progress.
Oh, and the Fisher Red Under Combination, 250 by Lee Russell.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho.
PFW in Progress here, but I don't know what the opening means. Gary, can you help me out?
That would be I hit a different button looking for something else.
I was like, we went from a holiday theme, which I was really on board with and understood, and then 24 came in. And I know 24 is right around the corner, a couple weeks away till they come back, right? Early January, January
15th? I'm just fired up about Christmas and 24, just letting everybody know.
I didn't know if it was a countdown to Christmas, but it's not 24 hours yet.
I'm sorry,
but...
Brian, I didn't mean to speak so loudly.
Oh, that's right. Thursday afternoon, Gillette Stadium, PFW in Progress. Couple days away from a few major events here in New England Patriots Nation. Obviously, Sunday, Patriots at the Jaguars in a potential watermark-type game where you say, is this team building anything coming off a blowout of last week? Or are the Jags as unbeatable as Bill Belichick has spent the last 2 days telling us, where pretty much everything is a problem that they do, and you know they got great players at every position, essentially. So... be an interesting game. We'll be interested in your predictions and emails. First hour, 12 to 1. Andy Hart here, joined by Tom Casale. We'll take your emails, talk about the game, talk about the punting situation and a couple open roster spots, talk about the Pro Bowl, talk about just about anything you want to talk about. And then the second hour, the fat men join us as Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo will be in studio, and we'll go around the NFL with our weekly picks segment. And I also...
Now that's not fair. I mean, they're bald, too.
Oh, that's true. And old. The fat, old, bald men will join us as we'll go around the NFL with our picks. And we've been promised the Dan Heffernan email, correct?
Yes.
Thursday, the second hour.
Supposed to
that's when
in.
We're supposed to have it. So our usual listeners from years past know that Dan is very creative. Dan has a great memory and includes a lot of specific events, comments, and things from... the past year's shows in his little night before
Christmas.
We're
doing that in the second hour?
Supposedly. Yeah, so I don't see it in the inbox.
And I have a huge pick coming this week. So the second hour, you're going to want to tune in. We got winners. We got poems. We got it all.
Everything. And we even got some hopefully rip jobs on people from Ireland if Pat or Patty, the Irish guy, chimes in with anything dumb as usual. Just kidding, Patty. We love you. It's a great time of year. I'm in the holiday spirit, so I'm not mad at anyone except... the commissioner who made me go to Jacksonville for Christmas Eve. fact that just sort of...
one of two teams that plays its last two games on the road. Thanks
right.
a lot.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for taking out all those geniuses and experts off at the league so when they make
and
the
schedule...
And
you know who the other one is?
Who?
Arizona. Is Denny Green popping off at the mouth.
That's right. They don't like loud mouths and they don't like arrogance, I guess, or whatever it is that Bill does to them when he calls them experts.
So-called experts.
So-called experts, know-it-alls,
geniuses. That's the
geniuses.
Best part of it is when he throws in the so-called
right.
expert.
Right. But not a lot of news coming out of Gillette Stadium today. No update on the punter, although it's starting to look like it'll be one of the two practice squad guys, whether it's Danny Bogger, who's been here for, a month or so now, kicking on the practice squad in practice, a guy Tom Casale spoke with last week, and basically, Danny said, you know, he's working to be ready when they call on him, basically. And Tom, not Sam Malone, not Mayday from Cheers, but a punter. And my impression would be it'd be Bogger.
And Bogger did say he held
right.
in college, and he holds here, too, in during practice. So he has some experience in that area
my,
as well.
My guess would be that Bogger will get promoted and signed for the game and do the punting, and that Matt Cassel will do the holding. Because if Bogger stinks, you're going to have to replace the punter.
Right.
You don't necessarily want to replace the holder again.
Again.
Keep Cassel in that role. So that would be
basically a one-game tryout here.
Right, right. That would be my guess. And as I've said, I'm very intrigued by Danny Bogger because he's a short punter, and I don't believe I've ever seen a short punter. And I want to see how he performs out there.
With him, Ray Mickens, and Mike Reese in that locker room, I feel like I'm in the Wizard of Oz.
It's tremendous. A 5'9 guy like me feels like a giant. By the way, somebody brought it to my attention that Danny Bogger is listed as 5'10 on the roster.
He's not 5'10.
I'm going by 5'11 now, yeah. Then. I'm almost
no
6 feet.
He's 5'10.
But other than that, Bill said...
too bad we can't get Maurice Jones-Drew here.
Right.
Really,
it would be
something.
Huge. Bill said, the status is quo on the punting situation. Those are his exact words. But obviously they'll have to do something prior to the game, and they do have the two open roster spots. So it'll be interesting to see how that folds out. But I would think it'd be Danny Bogger. You'll get a chance to see
pretty
him kick.
The status quo.
The status is quo. Thanks, the other Bill. Other than that, a lot of general talk. Mike Wright, Tully Banta-Kane, how they've sort of stepped up and how their roles have changed, and subsequently how that's led to some different roles on special teams for guys like Pierre Woods and Corey Mays, who, conveniently enough, are the subject of this week's feature in Patriots Football Weekly. Paul Perillo working on a tremendous award-winning piece that should really, really enthuse our readers when they get it the day after Christmas. It'll be like a late Christmas present dropped at your doorstep.
From Paul.
That's right. Other than that, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew talk, some Fred Taylor talk, a lot of praise for everybody and anybody who wears a Jaguars uniform. But, you know, it's winding down here to preparation for the Jags. Not a lot of pro ball talk in day two.
No.
I think it's settled in. You got one pro bowler, move on. You know, the MO yesterday or the theme was, you know, we're playing for the Super Bowl, not the Pro
Although
Bowl.
Brady
and all that.
Had interesting comments that we were talking about upstairs that not only just this team plays to win Super Bowls, but he said you're judged on how many Super Bowls you win.
Unless you don't,
win any.
Right, then it's Pro Bowls, right.
That's kind of a weird remark, I think, because Belichick told us last year that the two best quarterbacks he's ever seen are Montana and Marino. Now, Marino never won a Super Bowl.
Right.
I just think that's going too far. Like you said, in Brady's mind, Terry Bradshaw is the greatest quarterback
right.
of all time.
Right. He's what? On the negative side of interceptions
yeah.
and touchdowns or whatever?
I think out of all the players, Brady's the maddest that he didn't get in.
And it's interesting because actually Richard Seymour, when talking, said, I thought it would at least be the usual two,
mm-hmm.
which means Brady and
yeah.
Seymour. So, but it is what it is. I think there's an argument to be made for some Patriots, but I don't think it's an overwhelming argument. I don't think anyone truly got screwed.
And the reason I like that Philip Rivers went in is because I'd prefer that they go to the side where it's not just name recognition. I like
right.
when they put new guys in.
Right.
That's why I would have liked to have seen Ty Warren in.
Right.
He's not a big name to everybody, but he deserves to be in the Pro Bowl. So the Patriots, you know, they didn't get that benefit of the doubt, as Fred would say, the league has it in for them.
Right.
You know, but
there might be some truth to
there
that.
There might be.
Brady brought that up, that, you know, other teams don't choose to vote for us, whatever.
But
there might be a part
of
that.
But when you're on top, you're disliked by most other teams. Like if you play in Arizona and you're good, people probably don't really care if, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
But there's probably dislike for Tom Brady because basically just how good he is.
Right.
You know, they're sick and tired of seeing him go down the field against them, and, you know, Philip Rivers hasn't done that much.
Maybe that's why Derek Jeter didn't win the MVP and Justin Morneau did. Or did they
Maybe.
Tie?
No, Jeter didn't win.
Morneau won
yeah.
it outright? Okay. I was just having a brain cramp there. But, yeah, I think there's some truth to that, but who knows? Bottom line is, it really doesn't matter.
Nah,
the Pro Bowl is
joke.
As irrelevant as any All-Star game.
Bet the over and just sit back. And
I mean, they shouldn't even have it.
I think it's, yeah. It's,
it just doesn't
you're
lend
right, it's
itself.
The most irrelevant game. It's played at the end of the year. Half the people that were voted in won't go anyway.
Right.
Ty Warren will probably, by the time they get to the people that don't go, which one of them will probably be Richard Seymour,
right.
it'll end up being Ty Warren.
I'm actually, just a little tangent here before we get in the emails, I have no interest in the Pro Bowl. I'm more interested when they have those, like, skills competitions. So I wouldn't be opposed to just giving me the best players and then make them do other stuff that's sort of fun and entertaining.
You know why I don't like the Pro Bowl? Because it's borderline arena football.
Mm-hmm.
It's half speed on defense. And
you can't fault them. They don't want to get hurt
right.
in some stupid all-star game.
It's not their fault, but I just think the game is useless. And speaking of arena football, I should just point out
Monday Night Football?
No, I'm just point out something that fans might not have realized. ESPN has bought the rights to arena football. Now you're saying, so what? You know what so what means? It means you're going to get tons of promos for arena football. You're going to get all their scores and stats shoved down your throats. You're going to get on SportsCenter now, we'll have to see all the highlights of arena football games. So,
well, not only have they bought in, they're a part owner. They
right.
didn't just buy the rights. They're a minority owner in the league.
So, they're
so they really have the incentive for it to do well.
So they're going to be stuffing that down our throats.
And they are going to Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is basically going to be a continuous thing almost year-round. It's going to go right from the NFL to arena.
It won't work.
No.
Arena's a nice thing to go to in the summer, have some beers,
well, that's
watch
what I've
the
said.
Game.
I'm very
but
interested.
As far as a sport where you sit there and
follow.
Watch it on TV, it's just never going to catch on.
No, because you won't have the passion of,
no.
I'm a whatever Rough Riders fan or Wranglers. But I would be very interested if they brought a team to either Providence or Boston. I would definitely go.
I used to go to Albany.
I would
when
definitely
they had the
go.
Firebirds.
Yeah,
they had block parties. You'd go, you have some beers. But
yeah,
you know what the boring part was? The game.
Right.
Because then you stop drinking.
Right.
And you're just sitting there. You got to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
We were going to go drink.
But you're right. It's more of like, oh, the circus is in town. We'll go, mm-hmm. or just a thing you go to because it's there, rather than you follow it as a pastime. But should we get into the emails? You got any other news, notes, anecdotes from the locker room?
No, I got nothing.
Mike Wright will have a great story in PFW, one of the great guys to talk to. The players received their NFLPA, I guess, Christmas gifts or whatever today, which was basically some sort of little bag that was half shaving kit, half first aid kit, and another tool. I believe that's how you say it, T-H-U-L-E, tool bag for who knows what. Is that right, Gary? Tooley. Needless to say, Mike Wright was opening his when I was talking to him, and he wasn't very impressed. Kept, like, digging deeper and deeper to, you know, find if there was actually anything good in there, and was not happy for the amount of money that they pay in dues, which is five figures. So
in my opinion, that sucks.
I think they'd rather just keep their five figures.
Yeah.
Especially a guy like Mike Wright, who, I mean, you or me, he's making a lot of money, but NFL standards, he's making $265,000, $275,000
right.
or whatever. Take $10,000 out of that. That's a good chunk. That's like somebody taking
$1,000
from me.
What are those dues for?
The whole everything. Whatever the, you know, when, just to have the NFLPA, basically. So when he gets fined for helmet to helmet, and they appeal on his behalf, and just to be a member of the union.
Does some of that go to retirement, like retired players type stuff?
Well, having retirement. I mean, you'd still have to contribute your own. It's basically just to run the whole thing. It's like any union to, you know, so it's there for you when there is a strike. So it's there for you when there, but, you know, it's hard to look at the big picture when you have a certain paycheck and they're taking a chunk of it.
Yeah, he better hope he doesn't get, like, suspended for a game or two, or Mike Wright's
right.
done.
Right. All right, we'll start off with Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa.
Sawyer,
what do you think about Kirk Ferentz? Because that's been an interesting ongoing discussion here at PFW about where he is sort of on the college football landscape of coaches.
Right, and I want to ask the question to the fans something else, too. There was a couple of things yesterday said in press conferences that alarmed me, as I picked Jacksonville earlier in the week. Now, I heard cover two.
Earlier in the week.
Yeah,
keep that in mind, what he's going with right now.
Yes, and I'm asking the fans for their opinion. I heard the word cover two, which I think is the worst defense in pro football. I heard that Mathis does not match up with receivers. They keep him on one side, which is a waste of time. And I heard Tom Brady say they don't blitz hardly at all. Those three things bring up a red flag, and now I'm starting to think, this isn't a good matchup for the Jacksonville, and I'm thinking the Patriots might win this game. Now, is that A, being a fraud, like Andy Hart says, or B,
fraud.
Being an intelligent, objective journalist who gets some new information and is smart enough to change his mind?
Some of us had that information long ago, and that's why we made the
Some of us
pick.
Just always pick the Patriots.
That's not me.
Yeah, you and Fred.
Not me.
So
who picked the Denver Broncos last year? Correct.
That was the first time you picked against them all year.
That's not true.
So let's the fans decide. Am I a fraud or am I an intelligent human being making a decision based on the facts?
Well, we know you're not an intelligent human being.
Well,
so
go with the other part.
You might want to give a C.
I'm just going to say,
I'm not.
But,
I don't remember that. I think Gary made that up.
I don't. Hey, guys. Ken Walter on IR. There goes the season. How do you expect to win without a phenomenal holder and a guy who can punt it nearly 30 yards? How far is Brady from cutting off the sleeves to his red hoodie? What do you think? I like that red hoodie. If I was going to buy, I might buy a red hoodie if I was going to buy something.
Not at this pro shop.
Yeah, not here. They're probably not available. Great call on the Pro Bowl selections from the Patriots.
You've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
He's not there right now.
Neither are the hoodies.
Good point. You have talked about Bill leaving. Do you think he could find a place that would provide him the resources to run his system the way he does here? Could he possibly have a tenure like that of Cowher? A silly scenario. Coughlin out, Belichick to the Giants, Lovie Smith to the Patriots.
Well, Lovie Smith is it. Why is Lovie Smith leaving? Why is Lovie Smith getting fired?
No, I don't know.
That's the part I don't get. Just let's talk about this for a second.
Maybe he just leaves. He didn't say fired. Maybe he just, New England's a better place.
I don't know about that.
I wouldn't do it because, especially when he wants to run his Tampa 2 scheme,
he's
got Brian Urlacher and
he's
got
players over there.
Here he's got Teddy Bruschi.
Let's just talk about this for a second. Coughlin will be fired. I've reported that on Felger's show a few weeks ago. My sources told me that Tom Coughlin will be fired. And
Tom's sources are
and I'll tell you, I'll go into this even further in our pick section, but Tom Coughlin will be fired. So, say the Giants really want Belichick. They come after him hard, and they say, listen, you have total control. We don't have no stupid team newspaper you have to worry about. You don't have to do this. You call the shots, everything, and here's $6-7 million a year to do it.
And they're going to have to give something else up, right? I mean, he's under contract.
Yeah, but I'm saying, does he listen? Does he think about it?
I say no.
He stays here.
Yeah. I say you get a better chance of maybe Scott Pioli and Charlie Weiss taking over in New York.
All right.
That's what I'm going to run with.
Okay.
Why not? No,
It would intrigue him, though, a little bit.
It might intrigue him.
Close to the organization.
I think he kind of likes it here.
All right.
I think he's going to have annoyances everywhere because he lets a lot of little things annoy him.
Oh, well, there's no question about it. But I'm just saying, sometimes guys like a change. You know what I mean? Like, they like a change of scenery, a different challenge, in other words.
But
like
I'm not sure. A lot of coaches, I think, fall into that. Their ego says, well, I want to show I can do it wherever, and it's me. I'm not sure if he falls into that.
All right.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's an interesting thought, and if it came up, but it could get ugly, too. That's the interesting part.
And here's the other thing, though. Unless he goes somewhere else and wins, there's always going to be Cleveland and then Tom Brady.
Right.
And that's the one thing. I don't know if he'll do it now, but I can guarantee at some point Bill Belichick will coach somewhere else because he's going to want to get rid of the chicken or the egg theory.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to show everybody it's him, it's not Brady, and it might not be this year, but I think at some point you'll see him take on a challenge somewhere else.
All right, could be. Let's who we got here? Karthik, who gets mad when I make fun of his name. So
he doesn't like you at
Chicago.
All.
Chicago, get over it. One more negative. Realistic email. Buffalo is playing incredibly good with Lossman proving that he can play effective quarterback with Evans being a great receiver, and their defense and McGahee are always great.
Great.
Miami can beat the Pats since they have the tapes and have a history of beating them once every season. Mangini has all the knowledge and the play calls called by the Pats inside his brains. We have terrible O-line, worst receivers in the league, Oakland, Detroit, and are not last in this one. Inconsistent running game and many more problems. Do you think this year is the realistic chance to go to the playoffs one last time? Next year we have to play the AFC North and NFC East, and so I think we will most probably not go to the playoffs. How much of that do you guys agree as part of the Pats dynasty is over?
Well, Karthik, we don't necessarily say your emails aren't realistic. It was just that one day we were getting in like 30 negative emails in a row, and I think at yours I said, wow, there's a lot of negativity.
I think next year's a long ways away.
Yeah, they have a lot of money to spend. But
money, draft picks.
He makes one good point. They're not going to have any cakewalks next year. This schedule is going to be tough. The NFC NFC East is tough. The AFC North is going to be tough. And the teams in this division are going to be even better. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen Buffalo.
Well, yeah, I think
and
that's
Jets
what he was saying.
So you're talking about a a murderer's row schedule next year for the Patriots. But, and if they don't play better next year than they did this year, he's right. They won't go to the playoffs.
And that happens every year, the schedule versus how well you're playing, and you say, well, that year's team wouldn't have done anything with this year's schedule.
Yeah.
But it's just so far away. I mean,
yeah, they could make. I mean, they could have Calvin Johnson and Steve Smith.
And Chad Jackson could be playing like they think he can.
Who knows?
Lawrence Maroney might be a 1,500-yard back. It could just be a totally different team. You might have some stud outside linebacker getting 12 sacks as a rookie off the edge.
They might sign that special teamer, Adalius Thomas, and you never know what's going to happen. You'll have to wait. But I will say, if they have the same offseason and have pretty much the same team next year, I would say 9 wins would be good for them.
I'd say 9 wins would be a great season if they don't make significant upgrades. That being said, what is the chance for Brady to get out of this, off this dying team? Brady has a realistic chance of getting more Super Bowls than any QB, and every year he stays with the Pats, it's going to cost him eventually. Well, I mean, he's the Patriots quarterback. You can't just jump around, and he's not Phil Jackson. He can't look to see where the perfect place is, where all they need is a quarterback, and go there. So I think he's the Patriots quarterback for quite some time in the foreseeable future.
Did he sign like a 10-year deal?
6 maybe. But, I mean, he's the Patriots quarterback. Bill Belichick says it every day. There's no quarterback I'd rather have. And
he's not going anywhere.
It just doesn't work like in other sports where you can sort of go year by year and try to bounce around and win titles, or so much involved with winning in the NFL. And I mean, he could go to Super Bowl this year with the Patriots. I mean, as much as we think they're not a Super Bowl contender, it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's still out there. And if they get hot at the right time and he makes plays and Bill, you know, could happen. So, no, I don't think it's really.
The one thing they have at their advantage in every playoff game, it's not talent, but they probably will out-coach everybody they go up against, and they'll have the better big-time, big-game quarterback against everyone they go up against.
Right.
So those two things, while they may not be the most talented team, like you said, if they get hot in other areas, that could be enough.
If you ask me, the three DVD sets released by the Patriots is the reason why that caused all this. It's like the Madden curse. So basically, Karthik
is blaming Fred Kirsch.
Blaming Fred Kirsch for the downfall of the New England dynasty. I'm on board
with
that.
Yeah, I agree with
Karthik,
that.
Karthik, you and I are aligned again. No more battling between us. Fred is the problem here.
But was 3 the final one? Because 1 and 2 worked out okay.
Yeah, I guess.
He said Fred got greedy.
Yeah, Fred
got
greedy.
He should have stopped it, too.
Who was making... Was that an email the other day? Is it 4 games to glory more? And that was a pretty funny email. Harry in Bargam AFG. Damn. What does that mean?
I don't know. Afghanistan?
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll go Afghanistan and Bargam Afghanistan. Well, Harry, what's up? Vic, Pro Bowl snub, question mark? Pro Bowl question. With all the crappy NFC quarterback choices, and Tom's ready to pounce, why didn't Vic make it? I have seen him play twice this year, and both times he was great. When it's 3rd and 15 and he runs for the first, it is a heartbreaker for opposing defenses. His wide receivers have hands of stone, and Jim Mora Jr. is not a good coach. Did I just hear the playoff soundbite? Nobody will now.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Of course, today you might get the 24 countdown.
Yeah, well, the thing about the receivers having hands of stone is that we were there last year when Matt Schaub was quarterback, and it's funny how many balls they hung on to.
Yep.
I don't think that they've played great, don't get me wrong, but you know what? I've been a Michael Vick supporter since he was in high school, and I first heard about him. He went to Virginia Tech. This guy's going to change the position. I was all over him, and I've given him plenty of time to show me something in the NFL, and I just haven't seen enough. I've seen glimpses. I've seen flashes here or there that, well, he doesn't give it to you on a consistent basis, and I don't think he's ever going to.
I agree. But
and if
in
I was,
the NFC, he is a borderline Pro Bowler. They don't have a lot of quarterbacks choose from because – I mean, the injuries, the changes at quarterback, that's how Romo made it.
Right. If Vic had made it over Romo, I wouldn't be, like, up in arms. Like, well, you got to be kidding me. Tony Romo didn't make it over Michael Vick. So you definitely could make an argument for him.
I mean, as we said upstairs yesterday, Romo made it after a short span of playing well. Well, Rex Grossman had the same short span. It was just early in the year, and it's sort of forgotten
Grossman
about.
Grossman could have been in there. He could have went with any one of those guys.
But it's definitely the down conference.
Right. Pete Prisco was right, though. The biggest snub, Sean Taylor. He should be in there over Roy Williams. Not even a question about it.
Okay.
And you know I hate the Redskins, so.
And you also hate Roy Williams. JC and Anna. Him. Oh, wait. Jamie in Houston on the phone. Jamie, what's going on?
For Christ's sakes.
Wow. Jamie.
Me and Jamie, we're on the outs.
I get a sneeze here.
Is he here? Jamie?
All right, peace out, James. No, probably his name's not James.
He hung up after
Jamie.
He said, oh, Jesus, I think.
No, he didn't. No, you screwed it up. That's what I'm running with.
Jamie and I are on the outs. He doesn't like me anymore.
Why?
I don't know. He's making fun of me one day when I wasn't here, saying I was no good, saying I was a pile of garbage. Or was that you?
That might have been me. I thought that's what we did here. We make fun of each other.
Dan Heffron let us know who it was.
I make fun of Patty, and Patty makes fun of me. JC in Anaheim. I really have to sneeze, so I apologize to our listeners if a sneeze comes out at any point during this email. Morning, guys. Can we put the franchise tag on a player and then trade him before the deadline?
Yes, that was done before, right?
If it takes $13 million to... Yes.
To Bucky Jones.
Yeah, there are deadlines in there when you can do it and when you can't. There are certain dates... Mm-hmm. Because if you do it after a certain date, you lose the franchise tag for like the length of the deal.
Mm.
I forget the exact way it unfolds, but there's definitely a window where you can franchise him and then trade him. And it's Tabucky Jones was the perfect example recently. If it takes $13 million to sign Asante Samuel, can we give him the $6
million
left over this year and then $7 next year? If we trade some players in the offseason...
Oh, you saying the money that they have left over from this year.
Well, yeah, you could. You could give him a $6 million signing bonus right now, and then a $7 million roster bonus...
God bless you.
...next spring if you wanted to.
Let me explain what happened, what's going on here. They called Asante Samuel's agent.
He laughed.
He laughed, and he said, we'll see you in free agency, because Asante Samuel is going to free agency. Now, if he had one interception right now... Maybe we talk, yeah,
right.
But you gave him the season he's having right now, forget about it. He's hitting the open market. There's not a thing anyone can do about it.
And if David Garrard has another bad week, who knows, the price might go up again.
Yeah. So. And, and Vince Young isn't the most accurate passer
That's
yet
true,
either,
too.
So.
I mean, he could be in double-digit picks by this time this thing's all over. If we trade some players in the offseason, does the 2007 salary cap number go against our team or the new team? Would appreciate your answers. Keep up the good work. Well... A salary cap number is composed of the salary and bonus money. So if you trade a guy, you still are on the hook for the bonus money. Mm-hmm. His salary goes away. So if a guy, say a guy's projected to have a $1 million cap number that's an $800,000 salary and $200,000 a year left over from his signing bonus, you're still on the books for the $200,000. The $800,000 goes to the new team. So, and it's accelerated. If a guy has $5 million of bonus money left over a five-year deal, it would have been $1 million a year on your books for the next 5 years. Now it's bumped up all at once, mm-hmm. and you have to eat it on that year's books. So there, it depends on the player, basically. If it's a big-name, big-time player who had a big bonus, you're going to get an acceleration.
Yeah, the bottom line is the Patriots, if they want Samuel, will be in a bidding war with about five, six, seven other teams.
Right. Okay, that was it. We answered all those questions. Well done. Key in Galway, Ireland. It's spelled C-I-A-N, but apparently it's Key in Galway, Ireland. Hey guys, just started listening to the show and love it. Patty, or Pat as you guys call him, introduced me to the show, but I hope that won't lead to any problems. After all the Irish bashing done, I think Andy owes an Irishman a favor, so here's his chance. I watch the NFL on local television station. They give an Xbox 360 and Madden 2007 to the best email every week. I'm hoping the experts here could give me a good Patriots email or email topic to send in. Also, say what you want about Ireland, but you can't diss Guinness. You've been warned. And P.S., if it's any extra incentive for Andy, if I win, then Patty can't win. That is a lot of extra incentive.
I actually like Ireland more than I like Guinness.
Oh, yeah, me too. I have no interest
in
Guinness.
And I'm Italian. We hate the Irish.
No.
Guinness in Ireland is unbelievable.
Guinness isn't good anywhere. It's
I'm with Andy.
Motor oil.
I just don't like the beer.
It's creamy and smooth.
I drink Miller Lite.
Yeah.
drink water.
Gary, you either like Guinness or you don't. That's one of those things where you're either on it or you're not.
Went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
I guess a good email question would be, do you think that the Patriots management has put Tom Brady in a bad situation despite the fact that he's in the prime of his career? Something like that, along those lines.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I don't know exactly what the show is.
When you look at, like, San Fran and teams like that, Dallas, Miami, Green Bay, when their quarterback, when their franchise, Elway, when all those guys were in their prime, Jim Kelly, they surrounded them with offensive talent.
Right.
And you're seeing that with Manning. The Patriots are one of the few teams in NFL history that have had one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and have chose to go the opposite way. So that would be a good question asking, do you think that the teams, whoever makes the decisions around here, has put Tom Brady behind the eight ball when really, you know, this is his time?
That's not a bad question. I'm interested in what the show is in Ireland about the NFL. I would be interested to see who's on it. And
or you could ask if Patriots Football Weekly is the best team newspaper in the NFL.
Woohoo! Or you could ask Patty how to get off the wagon, the Patty wagon.
Well, when he
very
said when he said to you that you owed an Irish man a favor, I thought he was going to ask for a drink.
It's interesting, though, that Patty gets so defensive about me calling him a drunk, but his name is Patty in the Patty wagon. He's a drunk. What? Lots going on there, huh, Gary? Interesting.
He ripped me yesterday, too.
Patty did?
Yep.
Oh, so none of us like Patty now. Patty, persona non grata around here.
Let's just thank God that Patty's not African-American or Hispanic, or Andy would be out of a job.
Well, I'm Irish, so it's okay, right? Those are the rules I've learned. Michael Irvin taught me that.
Yeah, I'm Polish. I can say stupid things. Right. Like that.
Gary's Polish. He likes Poles.
Yeah, I'm Italian. I call my cousin that fat guinea cousin.
Right. So we can get away with it. Right, Patty? Anyway, Liam checking in. Last it was Siam and Liam. Kian. Xmas gifts for the PFW crew for Paul. I've got one for your dad. A trip to China to cover the Pats game while you sit on your couch at 2 a.m. and watch the game. For you? How about an escalator so you can save some money on the second vacuum cleaner? I thought it was just because he's fat and couldn't get up the stairs. For Fred, a free pass for a week in which the rest of the team can't rip him for the absurd things he says every day. Ben Watson is always hurt. Ty Warren was a bum his rookie year. Keep him coming, pal. Oh, that's good. For Gary, how about one of those drinking hats that holds two cans so he doesn't have to hold his Pepsi and drop it on the board every day.
Once
that's
I dropped
true.
It.
But this is a good attempt. Dan, you got a
Absolutely.
Little competition here.
Yeah.
People picking up on things. I like it. For Tom, a home gym so that he never needs to leave his house. Ever.
Oh,
and Fred has to let him call in to do the show.
I'm all for that, my friend. You give me one of those Bowflexes, you'll never see me again.
And for Andy, a friggin' baseball bat to the back of the head and an all-expense-paid trip to my trunk to the corner of Broadway and L Street in Southie so the guys down there can show him what there is in Ireland other than potatoes and Guinness. Season's greetings, boys. I'm not trying to offend people on this side of the pond. I'm making fun of, yeah, you're a fraud, Irish. You're not even Ireland. I might as well keep it going. You're just a drunk. You got to be in Ireland to be an Irish drunk. I went to college with an Irish kid who was quite a drunk. His name was Olin.
I had an Irish friend. That's what they say.
Yeah, some of my best friends are Irish. He was at my wedding.
I got a black guy who's a friend.
Right. What did Ozzie Guillen say? I know some gay people. I'm going to go to the WNBA All-Star game. Jeez. And luckily I'm down here, though. No one notices when I say that kind of stuff. Mark in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Subject, Casali.
Uh-oh, this can't be good.
It's actually not as bad as you think. Yesterday, an emailer asked you guys how long you've been fans of the team. Paul and Andy had quick responses, but Casali was very quiet on the subject. What's up, Tom? Are you not a fan of the team? Say it ain't so. Fraud Casali, could you answer that?
I was here in Foxborough Stadium when Craig James was the running back, when Steve Grogan was the quarterback. I had one of those Patriot hats with a ball on top, one of those winter hats that you can't even find anymore. See, Gary's giving me the thumbs up.
At no point has he said he was a Patriots fan.
I've just been telling you.
No, you said you were here.
Yeah, rooting for the team.
So, say if you were going to get an NFL team's logo tattooed on your body somewhere, it would be a Patriots logo.
Yeah, of course. Right. I wouldn't get a tattoo because only an idiot would do that. But you know, yeah, I just...
Just a clue, people. If you ever see Tom out and about, ask him to pull up his right arm sleeve.
I have no tattoos. None.
Just ask him. It's not bad.
It's the Popeye anchor.
Yeah, I have the anchor on my arm.
Funny, it's an interesting anchor that I see there.
Listen, do you have a signed autograph picture from Stephen Starling?
No.
Okay, when I was a kid, I sent him a letter. He sent me the autograph picture. I'll bring it in, and I'll put it on my desk, and that'll show that I've been a fan longer than you have.
At no point has he said.
I just said I was a fan.
What's your favorite NFL team?
Gary, what's your favorite NFL team? What's
your favorite NFL team?
Just because
what's your favorite NFL team?
Just because I followed the Cowboys and the Giants over my life, as well as the Patriots, he's trying to get me in trouble here. I lived in New York. The Giants are on every week. I know a ton of Cowboy fans, and I watched them all the time. I got news for you. When the Patriots were 1-15, they weren't on TV a lot, and we used to not have the Sunday ticket. So what am I going to do?
Drop your tickets like Fred did.
Back in the old days, we had to watch what was on TV. So, and Emmitt Smith was my favorite player ever in college football, and I rooted for him in the pros. Like, you root for Vince Young. Are you a Titans fan?
No.
No? All right. Well, shut up.
He's so defensive. Thou dost
pretend. He is not.
A little bit too much. Interesting. Russell checking
early
in.
Early Doucette.
Yep. Hi, guys. Okay, for some reason, I watched both the 2003 and 2004 DVDs. Here's what I noticed. The offensive line has seemingly digressed big time this year, and except for Mankins, especially in 2004, it's the same guys. Don't tell me the key was Ashworth. Well, you're not asking my opinion, because I'll tell you the key was Ashworth. Teams were blitzing Brady like crazy, and they protected him well, and he got his passes off to open receivers. Which brings me to say, they may not have been elite, but in that system with Brady, those guys were open and open consistently and made plays. What a concept. They actually stretched the field, even Bethel Johnson. And while he's no solution, but at least when he streaked down the field, unlike Chad Jackson, he seemed to run correct routes and caught the ball. 10 or 12 catches a year is more than Jackson has given them. I know the past is the past, but go back and watch the 03 and 04 DVDs and see what the O-line could do and what we had in receivers, and at very least to appreciate how great these guys were.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
That's true. So what happened to the O-line? I wish I watched these earlier, as it would have stopped me from thinking something was physically wrong with Brady. And it was shocking to see how much Dylan has lost. Wow. Casale, you are the man. I really enjoy your Grogan segments. Steve Grogan is pure class. I wish you all a great holiday. That's early.
Thank you, early Doucette.
Yuletides from the sunny O.C.
Yeah, Grogan's great. He's always a good interview.
A good guy.
Yes, a very good guy. And I don't want to get in trouble by Andy.
What'd I do?
I've likened this to the Troy Aikman. There was a time in Dallas, if you blitzed Troy Aikman, you never touched him. Then somewhere along the lines, it changed, and they got to him all the time. I don't really know why. Like he said, the offensive line is...
Part of it, I think, is the receivers.
The receivers would be the main part.
Yeah, I think he answered his own question when he said there were guys able to get open
and
guys Brady trusted. I don't think he trusts them, and I don't think they can get open.
When they blitz, you get rid of the ball quickly to an open guy. If they're not open, you hang on to it, you get sacked.
I think he is as fearful of what Jabbar Gaffney and Chad Jackson and Calvin Kite are going to do as anyone.
That's a good word, fearful, because when you're a quarterback... The biggest thing that I've heard from quarterbacks and people around the NFL is they have to know where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't trust you, they won't throw the football in your direction, because the likely scenario is the ball goes to the other team and quarterbacks don't want to turn the ball over,
Right. Especially
a guy like Brady.
Right. So, yeah, I think you sort of answered your own question. I'm not sure. I think on paper and just looking at it, I think this is probably a more talented offensive line across the board. But are they great? No. So that means they're still falling into the same trap where they need it to be timing. They can block for their 4 seconds and then be done. But when 4 becomes 7, they can't hold up any longer, and Brady gets hit.
And the 2003 team to me would whoop any Patriots team. That when Sapp was making fun of Hochstein,
right.
I was with him. I was, geez, he makes a good point. But they didn't let anybody touch Brady. Nobody touched Brady.
And it was basically because they worked as a team and Brady was able to move around.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Jeff Davidson, who's now the O coordinator now in Cleveland, talked at the combine sort of off the record about they know that their linemen aren't that talented, but they work together, they work as a unit, and Brady gets rid of the ball. And the way it just sort of played out on the field worked for that team that year. They're not getting that now.
Right.
And he's holding it longer. Nobody's open. He's getting hit. It's all.
I think everything we say and that what we've been saying for the last few months, it all comes back to the receivers. Say what you want. It all comes down to that position. Those guys aren't getting the job done. We were hoping this. We were hoping that. And out of all of our hopes, the best we got was Rashay Caldwell's been pretty good in the system.
He'd be other a tremendous
than,
three.
Other than that, we've gotten nothing that we've hoped for. Right. Nothing. Chad Jackson, all those other guys, Gabriel, nothing. And that's hurt the offense.
Hey, guys. Subject, Yates to IR. Great show as usual. I noticed this morning Billy Yates is the 15th player listed on IR. Did this just happen, or is the website incorrect? Also, do you have any info on who has the inside track on the punter and holder jobs? Thanks.
Dan Klecko.
John in snowbound Colorado.
Yeah, I heard he snowed in pretty good there, huh?
Yeah, they have a lot of snow. Everything shut
Couldn't
down.
Couldn't believe
and,
that.
Yeah. Yates is on IR. Broke his leg.
A while ago.
It was a while ago.
Cincinnati. Was it that far back?
It was a ways. Month
Minnesota,
and a half.
Cincinnati,
somewhere back
somewhere
there.
Somewhere around there.
So, yeah, he's on IR. That's not a mistake. And I think...
Although I should mention, if you see him from behind limping with a cast, it's not Vince Wilfork.
That's who you thought it was.
Yeah. I was telling a report, I think Vince Wilfork broke his leg. That's Billy Yates.
It's Tom Casale reporting
they got,
for you.
They kind of got the same look. They're wide.
Danny Bogger seems like he has a good chance to get bumped up for the game, and either he or Matt Castle will be holding.
Mm-hmm.
My instinct goes Castle. But we'll find out this weekend. I'm just reading this one, and this guy can't be on my side. His name, the email address is from Dermot O'Callaghan. Oh, and it's a long one. Dermot from Dublin, Ireland, not Ohio or some other godforsaken hellhole. No, at least you're drunk. Hey, guys, never get the chance to listen to the show live, but always listen to the podcast. Enjoy it immensely, especially Andy's running commentary on my compatriots with respect to alcohol consumption. I suspect that little girl's just jealous because I imagine after two Bud Lights, he's halfway to a coma.
And speaking of little girls, Fred Kirsch.
He's not little. He's going about...
As he's throwing down a York peppermint patty.
Deuce and a half these days. It's true. I'm a lightweight. I'll admit that. No questions asked. But, you know, when you don't start drinking at the age of two like Irish people, you tend to be a little bit of a lightweight. Drinking that motor oil you call beer over there. Anyway, I thought I'd, quote, chime in after some advice for people on this side and offer some advice for people on this side of the Atlantic who don't get to see many Pats games during the year. Seems to be a recurring theme from emailers outside of the U.S., over here, Sky Sports, of course, shows two games on Sunday night, but generally they seem contracted to show innumerable Raiders games for some inexplicable reason.
So does the United States.
Well, yeah, we're stuck with a lot of primetime Raiders games. That's the problem, which is weird.
Like,
shouldn't the league hate the Raiders? Shouldn't the Raiders be playing at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday morning?
Not only hate them, when you look at it, you know how I always say it's hard to predict how a team's going to do, but there was a pretty good consensus that the Raiders might not be that great this year.
Right.
And they're on like five times on prime time. I just don't get it.
By the way, Michael Vick to the Raiders. I just makes so much sense.
All
they
right.
need a quarterback. They love Al Davis loves that kind of guy.
They give up the first-round draft pick to Atlanta for Michael Vick?
Yeah. Or something. I don't know how it'll play out, but I think next year Michael Vick is an Oakland Raider.
Okay.
Al Davis's last move before, you know, passing on.
Well, he did give a press conference to let everyone know he's not dead.
Right.
Thank God.
What's more, the bloke who used to play Huggy Bear in Starsky and Hutch,
proposal.
A big Oakland fan apparently, well, his son plays is Justin
Vargas,
their running back, is a frequently used commentator. You think Madden or Sims is poor? Mother of God. This guy sounds like he's still completely off his head every time he opens his mouth. I often contemplate without anesthesia, root canal work just so I can distract myself from idiocy. Fred, how do you say that word? Unanesthetized?
Anesthetized.
But with an un in front of it. Unanesthetized, right?
That means conscious.
Right. I digress. I happened upon NFL Game Pass this midseason, and it is simply the greatest thing since sliced bread. Live video stream of any and all game of each week that can be watched for up to 24 hours after the broadcast is over. And you can fast forward through the incessant ads for CSI, NFL hoodies, and the bloody NFL Network. At least $25 per game. Oh, at $25 per game? It's kind of pricey, but worth it.
Well, now let me ask you a question. They don't have $25. You can't get DirecTV in other countries, Fred?
Nope.
You can't. Well, why is that?
They don't have a contract, Fred says, from the leather chair deep in the corner in the bowels of Gillette Stadium. A season ticket works
see
out.
That this show is nothing without me. You need me.
No, we don't. A season ticket works out at $250. I don't know how this compares to the NFL Network, for example, but I reckon it's worth it. Well, the NFL Network is like nothing if it's available on your cable.
Yeah.
It's minimal. For people like myself who love the Pats but used only to get to watch 45 seconds of highlights on Patriots.com or read about the game on Mondays on Boston.com, this thing is a godsend. And no, I don't work for Yahoo. Why, is it a Yahoo thing, Fred?
I have no idea.
I can see we need you.
Yeah.
I know the field pass in Europe. This year they had started allowing the actual video
right.
of the game in Europe, but you can't get that in America.
Oh, okay. It's just Europe.
I just wish Fred would take that red coat off. He looks like Santa Claus.
Sorry for the long email, but call it a rookie mistake. Tom, Andy, and Paul, thanks for providing great analysis and insight into football every week that doesn't take itself too seriously. Are you listening, Corey Dillon? Fred, thanks for providing in-depth analysis of the prevailing market trends in household appliance sales and for keeping the others from free agency. Long may it last. Hope you guys all have a great Christmas. And that's Dermot from Dublin. Ireland, not Ohio. I got some Irish people who were sort of defending me, just so you know, in that battle with Pat.
And I should say, some Irish people like that image of drinking
right.
and fighting.
Why wouldn't you?
So.
Members of the Patriots PR it's department like it.
It's like Italian people. Some Italian people like that whole mob image.
Right, and I'm a mutt, so I got nothing to latch on to. At least you're a drunk, and people know you as a drunk. Except for the one group from Southie that said they were going to give me for Christmas a baseball bat to the back of the head and a trip
you
in a car.
Watch out. That could happen. I'm not kidding.
Don't you worry.
The Irish mob is big.
All right.
Andy, don't kid around about that.
Don't you worry about it. I can take care of myself.
Oh, yeah.
I got Andre Tippett on my side.
Yeah.
PJ back in. Hey, guys, I just started listening to this show. Huh? I thought PJ was a regular listener.
He is. Is it PJ Naccarelli?
Yeah.
This season.
Oh, this season. And I'm hooked, yeah. as you can tell.
You've got to finish those sentences, Andy.
This guy telling me. You're okay because you can read. This guy. And I'm hooked, as you can tell, by all my emails I send you.
I might not be able to read, but at least I can write.
I like the show so much that I don't feel I need to buy PFW anymore. Is that what we're going for here, Fred?
PJ?
Did you hear that?
PJ, just let me say something to you.
I think he comes back strong later.
Well, so. I was just going to say, if you're supporters of us, we actually get paid to write for PFW. This is kind of like just a free thing.
All this other crap is just plopped on our plate after the paper.
So if people stop buying PFW, there'll be no more us.
Right. I get all of
you
the info.
You got that right.
I get all of the info I need right here, but I realize that you guys are running a business over there, and I'm renewing my subscription to support PFW.
That's a good man.
Hopefully you don't have to talk to Carol Hardy.
That is much appreciated.
Yes,
and what
you.
They have done for Patriots Nation by having the best podcast in the NFL. I'm also looking forward to hearing the Night Before Christmas. I just wanted to wish you guys all happy holidays. Here's a question about sound bites. What is the story behind these sound bites? You're making my point.
You're making my point.
It's Glenn Ordway says that, and they make fun of him on WEEI Boston. He has the big show, and he has some unique phrases, and that's one of them.
Basically,
you're making my point.
Kind of like Paul, a media whore with that.
Right. And I only drink to get drunk.
That's just Paul.
He's Italian, but he's a wannabe Irish. He drinks to get drunk.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
A lot of people do that. They're called alcoholics. They live in Ireland. A few questions. Take your pick. Who's this? TG and NJ. Hey, guys. So we have a TJ and a TG.
They're both good.
Oh, okay.
They're both good.
Hey, guys. What's your take on Mike Wright's performance, and are there any second stringers that you think might be able to step up and play well this weekend against Jacksonville? It's all about the matchups, right?
There's no on the defensive line. There's no second stringers that can play.
Well, Wright.
Oh, I thought you meant after Wright,
no.
Like the other guys.
Marquise
Hill,
Lakeven Smith. I'm not going to
say
we don't
even
way,
know
I
anything
know.
About him.
Right.
Well, would you consider Green a second stringer?
Well, I feel like Green and Wright are kind of like the quasi-starters.
Right.
After that group, there's nobody.
Oh, no. That's
especially
that's
Green.
It.
I mean, they signed him to a pretty lucrative deal as sort of that next guy in line all the time.
Marquise Hill, forget.
Right. Forget him.
That's the greatest mystery of this team. Why
Marquise
he's
Hill?
Still here.
Well, that's the thing. It's not, okay, we've already decided he can't do it. The question is, why is he still here?
And Bill's whole thing about...
Is there something that they know that we don't?
But in Bill's whole thing one day, he wasn't talking about Hill, but he said in college you have 3 or 4 years to prove yourself. You know, here we don't run it that way. We can't keep you on the squad for 3 years if you're not doing anything. And it popped in
everybody
Andy
goes,
and I, Marquise Hill. So that's a great mystery.
Can the Patriots stop the Jags' run game?
Yes.
Yes. Which team, in your opinion, has the better backfield? When healthy, the Jaguars.
The Jaguars, based on what they've done.
Right. Plus, I think Fred Taylor is far and away ahead of Corey Dillon at this point in their careers.
I agree.
Taylor is still good.
And then I would give Maroney the edge the other way.
Right.
But probably Jacksonville overall.
I think Maroney has a slighter edge based on what they've done this year over Jones-Drew, and Taylor is far and away better than Dillon at this point. Are you guys surprised that Asante didn't make the Pro Bowl? Not really.
I'm not surprised.
And this one's for you, Tom. Tom, you seem like a nice, miserable sod. Home,
I think
work...
he's supposed to be SOB.
Oh, it says sod.
I know, I read that one before.
Home, gym, home, China, gym, home. Have you ever considered coaching a football team? No, because he's not doesn't know as much about football as he thinks he does.
Oh, I never said I did. I don't think I could coach. I don't know enough about the X's and O's. But
you could coach.
The only problem I have with his thing was he threw China in there.
I ain't going to China.
Yeah, the home and the gym part was right, and work. You should have put work instead of China.
Oh, wait, I got a bouncer. I'm going to play Tom Casale right now. From Owen in Ireland, the NFL show in Ireland. The NFL show in Ireland is actually a British show, but we can get the same channels in Ireland because everybody's so drunk they don't have their own TV stations.
I thought Irish people and Brits hated each other.
That's Northern Ireland is part of that, right, Fred?
Right.
You're right, we do need you down here. The show is hosted by an American guy called Kevin Cattle. He has won Coach of the Year 10 years out of 13 years in the UK Basketball League, which makes him a perfect host for an NFL show, and an English guy called Nick Holling. Their guests have been Cecil Martin, the Fridge, Olindo Mare, a Dolphins cheerleader, some NFL Europe kicker, Scott McCready, Patriots practice squad player in 2003, Huggy Bear, and a bunch of other weirdos.
And you can't get enough Cecil Martin.
You guys rock. P.S. I'm drunk. Obviously, you said you're from Ireland. It goes without saying. You didn't need to type that line. Gabe Fonseca checking in from Trevose, Pennsylvania. Hey, Tom. I heard the reason that the Raiders were on Monday Night Football is that the NFL Network wanted to stick it to ESPN for running that football show a few years back. Sorry, I can't remember the name of it that they were told
the one
to
you
stop.
Liked,
Playmakers.
Playmakers.
Gary's not interested because he used to like that soundbite.
Why is that sticking it to ESPN by putting the Raiders on?
Well, because ESPN has Monday Night Football now. If you make it stink.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the case.
That's cutting off your nose.
Oh, the NFL wanted.
Yeah.
NFL is all about money. That, yeah. So
here we'll give you the Raiders.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that. You know,
there's a ton of Raider fans.
Right.
One of the things about the Raiders, though, is they've sued the NFL so many times, and one of the things that they've sued the NFL about is being mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of need to handle them with kid gloves. So the NFL throws them a bone and puts them on the NFL pass. And
I just think I just don't think they should be on TV. I mean,
well, they shouldn't.
The Cowboys have a huge following, and when they stunk, I didn't want to see them on Monday Night Football.
You're right, but that now the NFL can say, well, you shouldn't even be on TV, so how can you say we're mistreating you?
Right, because you're rewarding a franchise for going about their business poorly.
Right.
You guys don't want to try to win, but we're going to put you on Monday Night Football. No good.
JC in Anaheim chimes back in because we did such a good job with his first few questions. Andy, Tom, Gary, first let me say you did a fantastic job answering my questions. Your answers bring up a couple more. How much would it cost to franchise Asante Samuel? I don't know the number.
I don't.
Probably $6 million?
Between six
more.
And eight.
I want to say it's up towards eight.
I think so.
It's a pretty good chunk of change, but you're only on the hook for the one-year deal. So that would be the benefit from the Patriots side. Would we have any leverage with him by saying to his agent, he's our franchise player for the next couple of years. Hope he stays healthy. Well, you can try, and then he doesn't show up, and it gets ugly.
I'll tell you what. There's no better time for Asante Samuel to hit that contract than right now. He does not want to be franchised.
Oh, and he said that. He doesn't want to be franchised.
So you're looking at a whole other ugly situation if that happens.
Right. Deion Branch, a holdout, who knows what. I know you can't trade compensatory picks. What's to stop you from drafting a player with a compensatory pick and then trading him? I don't think you can trade a guy right away or something, can you?
You can trade anybody once you've gotten them. Like after the draft is over, you probably can't draft them on draft day.
Well, you're not allowed to trade compensatory picks on draft day.
Right.
But once you have the player,
could you draft a guy and just trade him?
Yes.
So you could have
after
the draft
is over.
Sure, once you sign him,
you can just trade him right then?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm not sure about that.
Why not?
I don't know, because then you're basically just trading. I mean,
so you're saying
anybody
who was ever taken with a compensatory pick wasn't traded?
No. I think you have to play for the team first, and then you're fair game.
Oh, maybe.
Or
I don't
get
know
cut
rules.
First. But because, I mean, he's right. You could just call a team and say, we want this player in this spot, and we'll trade you a fourth-round pick next year. So just draft him, and right? Especially if Parcells and Belichick want to do it, and they just call each other up.
Parcells isn't signing players because of Belichick, so.
Sorry, JC. You should have stopped at the first email when we answered them all.
I would have brought down the CBA book if I'd known.
But there isn't one.
I have one upstairs.
Oh, you have the new one?
Well, I mean,
you have
that, those rules haven't changed.
No, I know. Yeah. Are we ever going to get a new CBA? Are they ever going to finish writing
that? Not according to Ralph Wilson.
Yeah, he'll be gone.
He's still trying to figure out the old one.
Mike at Northeastern. Oh, boy. I hope this doesn't have anything to do with Paul or Northeastern. Hey, guys. By the way, Paul is the best on the show. Love you, Tom. But my dog, Paul Perillo, keeps everything in perspective.
My dog.
Because he talks about Northeastern.
Mike, are you Irish? You've been drinking.
Mike's the one person that when Paul talks about Northeastern, he cares.
Right. The other day, you mentioned how we need more playmakers, especially on defense, and I agree 100%. You're right. Paul's the only one who's ever said that, and it's amazing. You're right. I should have thought of that a couple years ago.
Well, I'm sure he's taking credit for it.
Probably. I think since our D-line is already great, we should focus on revamping our linebacking core for next year, which should help to offset an average secondary. Here's what we should do. Forget about the draft. Once again, it's another weak year for linebackers, unless you're talking about converting a DE into one. But I just don't want to use first-round pick
on
a project.
I would like to know the list of all the linebackers coming out if it's a weak. It's already a weak class. We don't even know who's coming out.
And the DEs that turn into linebackers have been fine over the last few years, so I have no problem doing that if they project one of those guys as a top pick. In free agency, since we'll have more than $30 million in cap space, we should target
Briggs.
Not
true.
We should. Why is that not true?
I don't think we'll have $30 million.
That's what's been reported by...
Well, it was also reported we have $10 million now under the
cap.
No,
but this was a projection on that... that they did the whole list of the league. I think that's pretty close to accurate.
Yeah.
And it could be a little bit more than that if they bump some of this year's to next year. So they're going to be in the mix and then in the top 10 in the league with money.
But the thing is, I also heard that there's going to be a lot of teams with a lot of
money. Oh, yeah, there's no question. Some teams are going to have $40-plus million dollars to spend.
Yeah,
yeah, no question.
Is that freaking Nightmare Before Christmas?
We should target Briggs. I think it's in here. I saw an email. Gosh. We should target Briggs as our one prized free agent. He's the real deal and would seem to fit our scheme. Here's my surprise. I think Joey Porter will be a Patriot next year and maybe even their other linebacker, Barnett.
No
but look
way.
For Porter to be here. I know he's not a free agent, but it seems to me that he'll be gone. Look
Neither
at these
does
factors.
Belichick.
The Cowher effect. All signs lead to Bill retiring, and if so, I think a lot of players will want to leave as well. Two, the Steelers have a history of letting good linebackers go.
True.
Gildon. Three, Belichick and Pioli have shown they like Steelers players, see Vrabel, Scott, Miller, and almost Townsend. Four, it has been well documented of Porter's year with some of his comments, and he's also had a down year, which would mean we could get him a little cheaper. It's been said that he is not happy with the Steelers, so I think Porter is a Patriot.
What
do you guys think? Players on the clock, Corey Dillon, Eugene Wilson, Randall Gay, Marquise Hill, Rosie Colvin.
I don't see any way. No
I don't
way.
Either. I don't think they really like him.
No,
very much.
The players don't like him. I just think
might
that
have
would
mutiny
be
a, in the locker
would be
room.
A tough sell. Listen, if you want someone, go out and get that special teams ace, Adelius Thomas. I mean, he's quick off the edge. He's big. He can play in the system. If you want to spend money on somebody, go spend money on him.
All right, it's 1 o'clock, and Paul Perillo's here. So after I read this next email, we're going to go to the second hour. But Pat Patty, your Irish friend from Ireland, is checking in. Subject, Andy is a leprechaun. Hey, Andy, a-hole heart. I heard you were hosting, so I took all the big words out of my email. I think Tom is not a fraud, but I say that just to piss off Andy. Yesterday, you guys were talking about Ireland. I think Fred and Paul would love it. Tom, I know you hate leaving your house, so I won't even bother you. For a-hole, he's so small, people might think he's a leprechaun. P.S. Andy, please tell me you're not Irish. We had to suffer river dance and bad drink jokes, but this tops everything. I am, in fact, Irish. I think it might be, although I'm a mutt, it might be the largest portion of my ethnicity. It is what it is. I got a great-grandmother who had the accent and everything until she died, probably from drinking too much.
And then she stopped having the accent?
She stopped having the accent when she drank herself into a coffin.
I would have put 3-1 down you were Polish.
No Polish in me. That's all Gary. He likes Poles. Anyway, that's going to do it for the first hour of PFW in Progress. Back after 1 o'clock, going around the NFL with our
picks. My big pick.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Breaks a tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
The first round draft pick in 2004 to only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson. Free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, a senior face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed in the limited to this both for qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
This is PFW in Progress.
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
PFW in Progress.
All right, quiet everybody. Our director will be here any minute and we'll start rehearsal. Here he comes. Attention everyone, here's our director.
With Fred Kirsch.
Oh no, we're doomed.
Paul Perillo.
Rats. Nobody sent me a Christmas card today. I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
And Andy. And Andy?
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel.
Andy Hart.
I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy.
I'm never happy.
Some guy named Tom.
Rats.
You've been dumb before, but this time you really did it.
Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
That's right. What about my part? What about the Christmas Queen, hmm? Are you going to let all this beauty go to waste?
PFW in progress.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown! Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. He shone earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations.
All right, we're back here at PFW in progress, the full crew. It's Thursday. We're going to go around the NFL, but I do want to remind people that as soon as we're done with these picks, and we'll get through them as quickly as possible, we have Dan Heffron's annual Night Before Christmas poem.
Fifth annual, right, it says?
Something like that.
Fifth annual. And it's tremendous. So, Patty, don't pass out until
actually,
after
I haven't read it yet.
I'm pumped up. I can't
it's
wait.
Always good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just give them the benefit of the doubt.
I started to come in when I was upstairs, and I purposely didn't read it because I didn't want to have
so
it spoiled.
I'm so excited. This is like my early Christmas present.
You'll want to endure the picks to stay tuned. We'll get to it before 2 o'clock. Dan Heffron's Night Before Christmas.
I did read the guy who wrote in with the Christmas gifts for everybody. And
he was good.
That was good, too. An elevator from my wife, so an escalator, rather, yeah. So we didn't have to have vacuum cleaners on both floors. I could do that.
I may have taken a shot at you there.
Oh, this is a surprise.
I thought it was just because you were fat.
That's not what he said.
But that's all. No, I know. That's the shot I said. I thought it was just because you were fat. The guy you told me to take seriously. Because he's the one who gave me the baseball bat to the back of the head and ride in the back of his trunk to L Street.
Absolutely. That's what's going to happen.
That's right.
I hope not.
Okay, well, I saw that email, actually, while I was upstairs. I gave him your home address.
Thanks for that.
I bet
you don't know my home address.
Paul, why don't you go over what happened last week and the season standings? We'll get right into this.
Well, actually, for the first time all year, Fred, I'd be glad to because I finally had a good week. I won the week both sides, 13-3 overall, 12-4 with the score.
Wow.
Let's see. Andy was next at 11-5. Tom was 10-6. Fred was 9-7. With the spread, I was 12-4. I'll repeat that again. I was 12-4. Andy was 10-6. Good week for you.
And for me, that's like undefeated.
Yeah. Fred was 9-7 as well against the spread as overall, and Tom was 8-8. So Tom was right. He was not going to be able to handle the prosperity.
No, I can't. And I got my big pick this week too. So
now overall, I take the lead with my
Jeff in Vegas is waiting that.
I am 138-86. And then it's Andy and Tom tied at 136-88, and then it's Fred at 134-90.
I'm sorry, Paul. Andy was mumbling as usual. Can you go over those, please, again?
I have the lead now.
Okay.
At 138-86. Tom and Andy are tied for second with 136-88, two games back. And then Fred is two games behind you guys, 134-90.
So Fred has to fire himself.
Yep.
And Tom maintains the overall lead with the spread 84-78. Fred and I are tied at 82-80, and then Andy is 78-84. So really, with the spread, we're not doing too bad. Three out of four of us are over 500 for the year, and Andy's not that far below.
And I've been pretty bad in certain weeks.
This is going to be
well,
a
that's
tough
coming
week.
Off the best week that I've ever. I was 12-4.
Well,
the spread.
It gets tougher because some.
I'll
teams,
be lucky to win 12
you don't
more games
know if they're
for
really
the
playing anymore. You know,
I know one of them that's not.
Who? St. Louis.
We'll see.
Okay.
Jacksonville.
All right, let's get into this. We'll start out with tonight's game, Thursday night game on NFL Network, for those who can see it. It is the Minnesota Vikings.
And if you can't, who cares?
At the Green Bay Packers, and Green Bay is favored by 3.5 points.
Wow. I think I picked Green Bay last week. Am I going to have to pick Green Bay twice in
DeMarcus
a row?
DeMarcus Jackson.
Your boy's starting for the Vikings, you know.
That's why I'll be picking Green Bay to win and cover at home. I like that guy's athleticism, but he's the kind of young quarterback who's going to struggle early on in his career, and I'm looking long-term with him as an exciting-type playmaker kind of guy. But he's a poor man's Vince Young. That's what I said all along. I'm mildly surprised with Vince Young's success. So I just don't like what the Vikings have on offense, on defense. I think they're the most fraudulent team when they were – good early in the year, and now they just stink.
Now, this is the game that NFL Network is promoting as this may be the last time.
Yeah, who cares?
Right.
Yeah,
We can only hope.
I think the Vikings stand a chance in this game because of their defense. I agree with Andy. It can be exploited, but I don't think Green Bay necessarily has what it takes to exploit it. And if they can stay in the game, they can run the football on Green Bay. I think they got a shot, but I can't go with a quarterback I've never seen play before, so I'm going to go with the Packers both ways.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to take Green Bay as well, both sides. And that there's no question that I have exceeded my expectations of how many times I was going to take Green Bay this year. I thought that that would be a team that I'd be lucky to take once. But I just can't pick the Vikings in any game right now. They're just – I don't think anything of them as a team. They haven't played well in, what, 8 weeks?
But wouldn't really you admit that they certainly – on paper,
have better
have
talent than Green
talent,
Bay?
I
yes,
say.
I do.
Yeah,
I do agree with
but
that,
with a rookie
but I think
quarterback, would it...
going to Green Bay at this time of year, even though the Packers haven't been good at home this year, I think it's a tough place to play for a rookie quarterback making his first start. I think all signs point to Green Bay.
Well, I'm hoping that Brett Favre has 5 touchdowns and 400 yards and that he says to himself, I can go out this way. You know, because you know.
What if he says, "Yeah, I can still do it," and comes back for another year?
Yeah, well,
which is kind of what Paul
Tomlin. I think there's more of a chance of him having a bad game
today
and not wanting to leave. On that note, so you know, it's. So I'm going to go with Green Bay both ways.
Hopefully, he won't see Rocky and be inspired to come back.
There's also a Saturday night game this week, also on NFL Network, and this is the Kansas City Chiefs against the primetime favorites, Raiders. And the Chiefs are favored by 6.5 points.
Where's the game?
Game.
Oakland.
In
as if
Oakland.
It mattered.
No, I'm going to take the Chiefs either way. The only thing is I think the Chiefs are a far better team at home, and Oakland's defense will put up a fight, but not enough fight. So the Chiefs win, cover, all the way around.
Yeah, I took Oakland last week. They couldn't score a point against the Rams. If they were playing Ohio State, I don't think I'd take them. I'll take the Chiefs both ways.
Yeah, I'll do the same. I just they can't score when you can't move the ball at all.
It's hard to cover.
It's
anything.
Hard to cover.
Yeah,
you know, and
you
like Tom,
can't score.
Like Tom said, the Rams' defense is as bad as it gets right now, and they couldn't even put a point on the board. Not even a single point.
And we know whose fault that was.
And the Texans' defense made them look stupid, and we just saw them.
Well, so I'll take
Kansas City.
I'll take Kansas City as well, but I'll take the Raiders to cover in this game. You just never know when these two teams meet. So, Raiders to cover.
Okay.
All right. Sunday.
Paul, I said it already. Michael Vick will be the quarterback of the Oakland Raiders next year.
You said it without any basis whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do on this show, isn't it?
I don't know if you know, but we don't really have a lot of sources.
Certainly
couple.
Not league-wide.
We're kind of like Deion Sanders in that regard.
Pittsburgh is hosting the Ravens at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and Pittsburgh is a 3-point favorite against the Ravens.
Pittsburgh hosting the Ravens and a 3-point. That's interesting. Interesting. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers to continue a push towards a potential miraculous postseason yet again. They'll come up short, no doubt. But I think they, in my mind, this is a mild upset, even though it's in Pittsburgh. But I think the Steelers win and cover.
Yeah, I like the Steelers as well. I think this is going to kind of be like the 2002 Patriots. Where they finished 9-7, kind of finished strong, but struggled a little bit early on and didn't make the playoffs. I like the way the Steelers are playing here, and I think they continue it.
Yeah, I'm going to take Pittsburgh too, and I don't.
Wow.
Not that
surprised by this.
Not that Andy was saying was a big stunner or anything, but I think Pittsburgh's a better team than Baltimore. I think they just had a lot of things go wrong for them this year, so I don't really look at this as an upset. I think they're a 3-point favorite at home. And they should be, and they're going to cover.
Santonio Holmes making a big impact.
I think the only way that Pittsburgh loses is if Roethlisberger throws interceptions the way he was earlier in the season. It's the only way I can see them losing.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh has been playing well. There's definitely a late-season surge going on, but I think Baltimore's going to win this game. So I'm going to go with Baltimore both ways, well, obviously, to win outright in this game.
I love it when he does that.
Let's see.
Fred, you know how we all talked about how many times we picked Green Bay?
Yeah.
How many times you picked Pittsburgh this year?
Not often.
I know.
Well,
you even picked the Raiders against them, and they won. But...
I also, before the season, picked them not to make the playoffs.
No, that you actually you and Tom did that.
Yeah, but right. His is out of hate, right?
Right.
No, I just didn't think they'd
that's
be.
Like that's
saying,
my point. That he
I actually told you Jake Plummer stinks.
I didn't think they'd be
sooner
able
or later.
To
I was
being
right.
Champs. And I was right.
You didn't think what?
Handle being champs.
Well, I don't think that had anything to do with it.
They'd be one of those post-champ downs.
That's right. You know. He won a Super Bowl title. That's why he got into a motorcycle accident, had an appendectomy,
right.
And
got concussed.
And threw 27 interceptions.
Like, even the guys on that team said, you know, in some games, it's like, you know, we won it, and now, you know, we're kind of sitting back a little bit. Their own players said that.
Who said that? I hadn't seen those quotes.
That was like four or five weeks ago.
Who said it?
I didn't say they didn't happen. I said I hadn't seen those quotes, and I haven't.
Who was it that said it?
I forget. I mean, it might have been Hines Ward. I don't know.
I don't know, but I'll just throw something. But I'll throw one particular guy under the bus. By the way, I heard you talking about Joey Porter with the Patriots. I agree with you guys.
Yeah, no way.
He is public enemy number one in that locker room. They hate him.
The persona is non grata.
Sunday at 1, Carolina at the Falcons and Atlanta. Let's see. Atlanta.
Six.
Oh, this is off the board.
It's 6.
We'll go with 6.
No.
It's
I like
six.
It
when Fred makes them up.
Let's see. Carolina at
I hope
Atlanta.
He goes 17.
I'm going to make it a full touchdown for Atlanta.
All right.
7 points.
Okay.
Atlanta by 7 over Carolina in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'll take the Atlanta Falcons to have a big game here. Michael Vick runs all over the field, makes plays. Chris Wanky stinks. Dillon's not back, is he?
Well, I think that's why it's off the board. They don't know if he's
playing. Yeah, I would doubt it.
Okay. Either way, the biggest frauds in the history of football, the poorly coached Carolina Panthers, lose to the poorly coached Jim Mora Falcons.
Now, the only thing that Andy said that was wrong is that Brett Bazinet may be the quarterback. He had to come in for Wanky last week. That's I think they've given up a little bit. I think they've had a lot of injuries. I think they're done. I hate to lay 7 with the Falcons. God knows that, but I will in this case.
Yeah, I agree with everything Tom said about the Falcons. However, I think you could also, about the Panthers, I think you could also say every single one of those points about the Falcons, and that's what makes this game, in my opinion, a tough one to pick. But I guess I'll go with the team that's a little bit healthier and take the Falcons. But I think they've completely packed it in, and they had, I thought, a despicable loss to Dallas in that Saturday night game. I thought they had a million opportunities to win that game, and Michael Vick just doesn't get it done. I'll take the Falcons, but I'm not feeling too good about it.
He's going Panthers here. He's going opposite us.
I might.
That's why he upped the spread, so he could entice us all.
No, I'll go with the Falcons, but I'll go with Carolina to cover.
That's why he upped the spread.
Well, you could have done the same thing.
I know. I don't care.
Tom likes being right.
Chicago at Detroit.
Sneaky one here. Sneaky.
Chicago was favored by only
four and a half
points.
Spread opened up at 8, down to 4
so
and a half.
What's going on? Because of all the stuff going on with the Bears defense?
Apparently, people think that they're
Tank Williams?
Well, they've got everything wrapped up. And apparently people think they're not going to bring the emotion. But I did hear that at halftime the Lions fans are walking out.
Oh, really?
Oh, they're going to do a walkout?
Oh, I hadn't heard that. That's cool.
But see, what I would do is this, though. See, because they already got your money. So you're not really – what I would do is I would come and dress as Bears fans. Root for the Bears.
There you go.
Either don't show up or do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're only hurting, you know, what's...
Now they got your parking money out in the street.
Yeah. Now you got to sit in traffic because everybody left the same time you did. Dude, that's a terrible idea.
Terrible. Well, unless they have a thing outside so they can show the cameras of all the fans outside the stadium ignoring the game.
So this spread moved almost 3.5. It moved 3.5 points.
Something's fishy about
this. In your old days, that's called a red flag, no?
I'll just take the Bears. I don't know anything about red flags or any of that crap. I don't think the Bears are playing well enough to pull their foot off the gas at all. I think, if anything, they need a blowout of somebody to build some confidence and play some good football. So I think they beat up on the Lions.
Yeah, I'll take the Bears, but I'm going to take the Lions to cover. I think it's going to be close. I think there is something to the human nature effect of once you have everything wrapped up, that first game after, kind of not having your head in it. The Lions, they probably expect to roll over, and maybe they will, but I'll just take the Lions. What the hell? It's late.
Okay.
I'm going to take Chicago to win and cover. I don't. If it was the 8 that it originally opened up at, I would definitely be taking the Lions to cover, but With only 4.5, I think they can win the game by a touchdown. And
plus, Devin Hester can get you that whenever you need it.
And they have to find, you know, there's some questions now. With a combination of injuries, they have at least 3 or 4 starters that are out.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Yeah, those guys.
You have Tommy Harris, Tank Johnson,
Mike Brown.
You know, that's a lot. I mean, I know that the Patriots are the only team that has injuries.
That's the equivalent of.
But everybody else seems to have a lot of starters that are on IR.
That would be the equivalent of the Patriots losing, like, Seymour and Wilfork.
Right.
You know, that's the two inside guys. You don't replace those guys with just
anybody.
And
Rodney.
Yeah. So it's, those are big injuries.
Yeah. And their defense has shown it.
Well, and all of a sudden,
in the NFC.
Yeah, all of a sudden last week, their defense didn't look so good.
Right.
The team you like more than any other.
Giving up a lot of big passes. So I'm going to take the Bears because I do think, like, even though Tom said they might have that foot off the gas, I think they need to leave it on because they need to get this defense straightened out. That's how they're going to win in the postseason. And without it, it'll be like last year when Carolina just shredded them. So they need to get that straightened out.
I'm going to take the Bears both ways.
What's that? There's no way in hell you were taking the Lions.
Oh, he hates the Lions worse than you and I.
All right.
Why does he hate the Lions?
Because you can't pick them every week. Right. I can't get a Lions game.
I can't get them right. No.
Yeah.
All right. The Colts at Houston. The Texans are a home dog by 9 points.
I'll take the Colts to win and to cover. They blow them out. Houston's done. They packed it in. Pack it up, pack it in. It's over.
Well, despite the fact that the Texans have Mario Williams, and I know that's big, but
this is why they got him.
Yeah, I was roaming around in that locker room last week, and it wasn't a pleasant sight. It looked like a team that was ready for the season to end, and the Colts will put a beating on them pretty good, I think.
Okay, Paul.
Well, can Houston be as bad and as lifeless as they were last week? Every week, I mean, I just can't imagine they were that.
I'm just wondering if they're losing confidence in their quarterback.
Well, I think that's part of it, but I'm just talking about the fact that they cashed it in and quit.
It's a lot easier to be lifeless back-to-back weeks than it is to be up back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts, you know, probably for Andy's warped reasoning more than anything else. But I can't imagine that they have played most weeks like they did last week. And
no.
I'm not talking about the caliber of play.
They beat the Jaguars twice, right?
I'm talking about how they played with no enthusiasm and no intensity. They quit last
week.
They quit after they didn't get
that. That was the most disturbing thing of the whole game.
And I'm going to guess that they're going to have more intensity this week because I'm sure they heard about it all week, about how they didn't play hard. Although the way that their writers do, I'm not so sure that they called them out.
I think they probably were just hearing about why they didn't draft Vince Young.
So, I'll take the Colts.
Well, their lead writer works for the team, doesn't he?
Yeah, I got to take the Colts both ways as well.
How so?
I don't know. Isn't he in their pocket?
Well, but not officially, right?
No. I didn't mean officially. Not like us.
Or Reese.
Well, I mean, there are other, like Jeff Hobson.
Or Reese.
Jeff Hobson is the Bengals' lead writer, and he is employed by, you know, so I didn't know if it was something I didn't know about in terms of a website or something like that. I know he gets criticized a lot, John McClain, for that. You know,
he should.
Fred's buddy, Florio. He's always writing about how he's carrying the team's water.
All right. Sunday at 1, the Saints at the Giants. And let's see. What do we got here?
3.
Giants are favored by 3.
Good to see Tom get out of gambling.
At home.
3. What'd you say? Giants by 3?
Giants by 3 at home.
At home. New Orleans, the Giants.
Don't do it, Andy.
I'm taking New Orleans to win. On the road. They get it done. What? they're an up-and-down team, but as the story's written, this would be a nice win for them on a big stage in New York. So the NFL will write this into the story. So Reggie Bush, big game in the biggest media market in the world.
Well, this is my game. James already got it. I told him I'd give him my reasoning today. Sometimes when you gamble, things part like the Red Sea. The Saints had that awful home loss last week. The Giants got lucky after they lost to the Cowboys because they played the one team that stopped playing before them, Carolina, and they managed to get one more win. They're all done. And I was impressed by the Saints last week. They didn't want to wear any hats or shirts that said NFC South Division Champs. That's a big deal for them. You know, that was a big accomplishment.
And they haven't been in the playoffs since 2000.
Yeah, they didn't want none of it. They didn't care about it. And I think you see a focused, well-coached Saints team go into New York and totally destroy an out-of-control Giants team that wants that coach gone. And there's always that game when a coach gets fired, the game where you say,
right,
well, that's
he
it. He's gone now.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel this will be the game for Coughlin.
Okay.
And Tom has Bill Belichick coaching in New York next year.
Do you?
I did not. I just brought it up. Wouldn't it be interesting if they offered him total control and a lot of money? Would he
Pioli
think about
and
it?
Belichick with the Giants next year. That's interesting that he would make that leap, Andy. Don't
I
you
went
think?
Pioli Weiss.
Oh, yeah. Well, that could happen, too. Charlie's always said that that would be his dream job. I can't argue with anything that Tom just talked about. You know one thing that's kind of bothered me about this? People all of a sudden, the Saints lost last week against Washington, and I heard a lot of the analysts talking about, well, maybe New Orleans peaked too soon. You know, they had that perfect game against Dallas on the Sunday night game, and maybe that, you know, you don't want to be peaking in early December. You want to be peaking in the playoffs and building toward the Super Bowl. Because they lost one game? I mean, it was an obvious letdown week.
Obviously.
You know, I just don't understand that. They're a pretty good team. I think Tom's right. I think they go in and they wax the Giants. And I think the Giants are the epitome of that team. It's just a collection of good talent that's not nearly as good as a football team as their talent would indicate.
Yeah, I got to go with the Saints as well. All right, let's keep moving. Tampa Bay at Cleveland.
That was code for Paul, stop talking so much.
we want to make sure we have time at the end for the poem.
It's 1:30, Fred.
Tampa Bay at Cleveland. Still on the 1 o'clock games.
We're almost done.
Most of the games are 1 o'clock, though.
Tampa Bay at Cleveland, and Cleveland is favored by 3 points at home.
Nah, why not? I'll take Cleveland at home. I like Romeo. Tampa stinks.
AFC, NFC, plus the AFC teams playing at home. That's easy. Cleveland.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're talking about all the teams that have quit. I don't think Cleveland's one of them. I think
no,
for the most part,
hard.
They've played pretty hard. I'll take the Browns.
I'll take the Browns. I'll take the Buccaneers to lose by 2 points in this game.
That's interesting. Explain why he's last when it comes to the spread.
Actually, I'm not.
He's not. He's tied for second.
No, you were last in the overall pick. So explain something. I just knew you were last in something.
You don't know what you're talking about. Tennessee at Buffalo.
Game of the day.
This one's been keeping me up at night.
I know. Thomas
I'm really torn
him.
Over this game.
Let's see. What do we got here? Buffalo is favored by 4.5 points at home.
Well, we know where I'm going here. Vince Sanity continues to roll. He gets by when his team helps him out because of just the aura he brings to a team, the greatness that is Vince Sanity. This week it goes the other way. He makes the key plays again, throws for 2 touchdowns, rushes for 1, and they go in there and they wax the Bills.
Hmm. Yeah. Remember like about a month ago where I said it was right about before Tennessee went on their 5-game winning streak, and I said, I feel like this team's really going to start going, and then I didn't pick them once. There's that thing in gambling when you jump on the boat and then the
too
boat
late.
Sinks. Yeah.
Capsizes.
I feel like that's what's going to happen if I take them, so I'm going to go with Buffalo at home, but I'm going to take Tennessee to cover, 3-point game.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. Buffalo, I think, is going to win the game, but I'm going to say Tennessee covers. The Patriots play Tennessee in 2 weeks, which means they can't be going in with a winning streak. It is written in the Fred Kirsch Chronicles, it is written that Tennessee has not only a loss this week in Buffalo, but something happens to Vince Young and he won't be able to play in that last game against
the game won't be
I will
o'clock.
Cry.
Have a chance.
I will cry if I don't get to see Vince Young.
Uncle Rico, I'm going to go the same way. Buffalo to win, Tennessee to cover. All right, Sunday at 1, Washington at the Rams, and St. Louis is a 2-point favorite at home.
Go from the game of the day to
I'm
the dog.
I'm
going
to take Washington to win.
You read the story, Andy. You know how this ends up. My story.
What story?
With the game.
Oh. I'll take Washington to win this one. I think they run all over them. That's all I
okay.
got.
This game has special meaning to me because it was the game that forced me to go into retirement 5 years ago.
And not take Hawaii in the over 5 straight weeks.
I don't know what you're talking about. But Washington always wins in St. Louis, always. They won last year when this game was in St. Louis. They always win in St. Louis. I think they do it again with Liddell Betts going for about $1.50 on the ground. And I like the way their defense played last week. Looks like they had a little fire, and I think they can control the Rams' offense.
Is this the kind of thing that gives Washington fans a little confidence.
You know what?
Gibbs.
They'll win the next week against the Giants at home, too. And right. That's what I was thinking. They're going to get hope. And
well, the big thing for them is that Jason Campbell has played the last half of the season, and they haven't fallen apart.
Yeah.
So I think you're right, Fred. I do think they get a little confidence of it. Whether it's false confidence or not, we'll have to wait till next
year. Despite the fact that they benched Adam Archuleta.
Yeah, I agree with Tom. I think
they got to get rid of Vinny Serrata is what they need.
Liddell Betts, I think, runs wild.
I'll go with Washington in this game.
Any thoughts that maybe Clinton Portis at the end of the year trade? Maybe they signed Betts to a 5-year deal.
Saw that.
That's
the extension.
You know, maybe he fits better with what they want to do.
All right, Sunday 4:05. The
still 1:30, Fred.
I know.
All right, well, I'm just saying.
We still got some games to go here. We got one, two, three, four, five,
so
six.
So stop
games.
Counting them and go to them.
Cardinals at San Francisco. San Francisco's a 4-point favorite at home.
Cardinals at San Francisco. I'll take San Francisco. I'll take Frank Gore. I never believed, but I believe now. I like his cockiness. I think he's a budding superstar. Frank Gore carries him to victory.
What's the number, Fred?
Four. Yeah, San Francisco at home. I agree with Andy. I think Gore has a big game. Alex Smith plays better at home. Hate to give up that many points, but I will with San Fran.
I know sometimes you can be deceived by only seeing a team, you know, here and there. The game against Seattle a couple weeks ago, I declare the 49ers the best bad team in football. In other words,
if they win their division.
Best team with a losing record, you know. I like the Niners. I think they roll over the Cardinals.
Okay. Me too. I like the Niners in this game as well.
I like Mike Nolan.
Don't
know why, but I do.
I don't. I really dislike him.
Why?
Rubs me the wrong way.
In your
can't tell
many
you
dealings
I
with him?
Well, at the Combine, I talked to him.
Oh, you did?
And I didn't. Just the vibe. You know how you get a vibe from somebody?
You didn't like McCarthy.
Maybe he
either.
Just thought you were a jerk. So, you ever think of that?
Well, I would have to say he was accurate.
Right.
I'd say he was, too.
Let's see. I mean, Mother Teresa would give you a bad vibe if you go that way.
Overrated.
What has she really done? I mean, recently.
Nothing. Where is she now?
Sunday, 4:15, the Bengals at Denver. Denver's a 3-point favorite.
Surprise, that's on the board.
Who's at the what?
Denver hosting Bengals. Denver favorite.
Why are you surprised that's on the board? What's going on
there? Palmer's hurt. He's got a bad shoulder.
They think he might. They don't know. I mean,
I saw that he got injured in that game.
I did see him.
He
walk
was
up.
Injured.
Yeah, but then he
three
that
points
was the first, end of the first half. But then he came back. In
no,
the
I know,
half.
But I'm just saying he definitely has something wrong with
yes.
his shoulder. Whether or not he can play with it is a little bit up in the air.
Yeah.
I say Denver by three.
Yeah.
I'll take the Bengals to win on the road.
That's big. I didn't know that.
I think they're the more talented team. I don't like Denver. I don't like Cutler. I don't like him.
I'll tell you who I don't like, Cincinnati. I don't like anything about them. Amazingly, I'm taking them to win. For reasons I don't know, but I just I think they're a weak team. I don't think they're ever going to win anything with the team that they have right now. But
that team will never do anything until they get a new owner, and that's never
I kind of agree with Paul. I think Denver's defense is a little bit worn down, and I think Rudy Johnson wins this game on the ground.
Rudy.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I like Cincinnati, but I like them to win this game. I don't like the team, and I don't think they're strong enough to win anything of any significance. But good news for the Patriots, because I think this is the final nail for the Broncos, and I don't think the Broncos are a team the Patriots want to see.
Yeah, I just 6 weeks ago, I would have taken the Broncos easily in this game, but now I'm going to go with the Bengals.
I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Okay, Sunday 4:15. This could be a whooping. San Diego at Seattle to take on the Seahawks.
Paul, do we have any games different yet?
You and I?
Yeah.
San Diego is a 4.5-point favorite.
Oh, wow. For a second there, I was going to consider taking Seattle with the points,
good.
But I'm not. San Diego wins and covers.
It's
best
not
team in football.
Believe me, it's not intentional.
Building, no, I know. I just was thinking. Go ahead, Andy.
Building up momentum towards the postseason. I think they're picking up steam, and if they continue to do so, I don't think there's any team in football that wants to face them on any Sunday.
Well, I asked Paul if him and I had any different games because I'm trying to make up ground here, and he said, no, this ain't going to be one of them. I'm going to take the Chargers. What's the line?
4.5.
Stinks. I'll take Seattle to cover somehow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ashworth carries Seattle.
You took San Diego both?
Yes.
I heard some things.
Uh-oh.
I didn't hear anything.
He's making it up. I stopped listening to those months ago.
I'll throw you a bone here.
You gonna take Seattle?
No, took Seattle. You took Seattle, I thought.
No, I took
Seattle to cover.
I thought in Seattle to cover.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you one different here. I'm gonna take San Diego and to cover. So if that's one different.
The hell does that have to do with the overall?
No, we're talking about the overall picks.
I thought you were talking.
You
about
told us that the other ones were irrelevant when you stopped knowing how to do math like a month ago, didn't you?
No, I caught up.
So all of them add up to the same thing now?
Yeah.
Oh.
You
told me to ignore those.
Well, because it was 1 week that we were six games off, but I figured out what my mistake was. Like 8 weeks.
You figured out, or you did like my bank book, my checking account, and just went with whatever the bank says.
It may have been a little bit of that.
Zero balance.
I just think San Diego may be due for maybe not a great game in Seattle, man. They got to be due to play well at some point.
See, I think San Diego didn't play well last week, even though they won, and I think they want to show that they're better than that. And it's that whole AFC-NFC.
But the thing about Seattle, I mean, they have to be looking at this game as this is now who we are. You know.
Well, this is it for them. They need to win this game.
I know. I can't pick Seattle in any game that the other team has a good running back because they can't stop the run.
I'm going with the Chargers to cover. Okay. Monday night.
Bum, 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 bum.
Actually, it's 5 o'clock in the evening, so all the gifts will be unwrapped and ready to watch football. I'm excited.
I can tell you right now, don't even bother taking the points if you're thinking about it.
Tom Casale and Fred Kirsch, glued to the TV. Everybody
Dallas,
else, it'll be Christmas.
Dallas at home, favored by 7 points. Andy.
I'll take Dallas.
Were they
pretty
playing?
Good football. I don't know.
Eagles.
But I thought it was the Eagles. And
Jeff Garcia.
Just didn't feel real crisp. And
so I didn't miss it. He never said it, right?
I would never pick a Jeff Garcia Eagles team against any decent football team. And the Cowboys, I think, are a step above decent. Not necessarily sold that they're the team to beat now.
I don't think there's any team to beat in the NFC.
Right.
You can't say that because the Saints went into Dallas and whooped the crap
right
out of them.
So I think they're definitely in the mix there. And I think they're a pretty good football team. And I think that's all it takes to beat the Eagles.
I don't say this often, but I think this one gets ugly.
Really?
I think the Cowboys roll in this game. Their defense is all over Garcia. I think they run the ball with Marion Barber, even though Parcells says, I like to have a closer. That's why I don't use him earlier. I think he got to start using him a little bit earlier. Just one side note, out of all the players in the NFL, Westbrook makes Williams look the worst. He's at least five times I've seen him whip on Westbrook. But other than that one touchdown, 42-7 Cowboys.
Wow. Paul.
42-7.
I just think, for some reason, I just think this is going to be a whooping.
Well, you know what? I hope you're right, because I would hope to, I don't want to miss a good game, and, you know, obviously I'm not going to be watching. So, Dallas, because it's Christmas. I have other things to do than watch football.
And I do not.
Dallas Cowboys will win and cover.
You're the guy that says you don't need Saturdays. You can just watch
Saturdays,
football on
Saturday. If it was Christmas Day,
what do you
I wouldn't
have to
be
do
advocating.
On Christmas Day?
I spend time with my family,
yeah,
especially
football.
When I'm not going to see them on Christmas Eve.
Watching football. You have until 5 o'clock to spend time with them, and then you watch football.
As I said, I will not be watching
Mother Teresa Paul Perillo
and
over
I won't
here.
Be and I won't be watching the game after
family
it either.
Man over here.
I don't like – All
of a sudden.
I don't think the
before
game –
Before this, he was a real jerk.
I don't
At
think
least
there
you should be wearing a sweater with a reindeer on it.
I don't think there should be games on Christmas. That's all.
Well, you know.
Thanksgiving is one
that's
thing.
That's another. But since there is one, I will be watching.
There are two, aren't there?
Yes, Fred, there's two. Miami and –
And the Jets.
The Jets played in
the 8:30 game.
Yeah.
So that's the 5 o'clock game. I'm going to go with did you already make your pick?
Yes.
Dallas wins, but I think the Eagles will cover. I think Garcia does have a big game, but he can't throw far at all.
No, he cannot.
He stinks.
He can't
you know
why?
Everything out
See,
of him.
Fred,
what is he, a Pop Warner quarterback?
Fred, you just hit the key. The way to beat the Cowboys, whoosh, down the
deep
field.
Ball.
Yeah, and Garcia doesn't have the arm.
I love when he
doesn't
puts it to
arm. His Lee Corso. He can't do it. It takes everything in his body just to throw
Fred just made
yards.
A good point to make the to take the Cowboys, and he took the Eagles.
Well, taking the Eagles to cover. I just think Eagles play an inspired game for whatever it's worth, and they keep it close. But Dallas wins. All right, 8:30 game, Monday night, Jets at Miami. Miami is a 2.5-point favorite in this game. Obviously, depending on what the Patriots do earlier in the day, this
Does
could.
Anyone know if Ronnie Brown's playing?
Let me see if I can find that out for you while Andy does his pick without that information.
Gee, thanks, Fred. All right, I'll play along. I'll take the Jets. Take the Jets to get it done. play a good hard victory, and Dolphins already had their Super Bowl. They packed it in, so the Jets are still fighting for something, a playoff berth.
Packed it in because they lost.
Ronnie Brown says he expects to play in the final two games after being sidelined since Thanksgiving, but he is listed as questionable.
It's irrelevant. They stop them, and they win, and they continue to battle for their postseason berth.
Not so fast, my friend. Come on, keep your Corso thing going.
I don't really have a pick in this game.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with my theory. I'm going to go with whatever the Patriots do, the Jets follow suit. The Dolphins gave the Patriots trouble. Ronnie
right.
Brown coming back.
Right.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins at home, even though I'm not very excited about the pick.
And I think you're right. If the Patriots lose, so will the Jets, I think.
That's not really what he was saying. But
that's what I'm saying.
You were talking about the Jets follow up against Patriots opponents and
the
perform
way,
city.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Blueprint,
like they went to,
quote,
like they went to Minnesota
right.
and blew them out the same way the
right.
Patriots did.
Fred's saying the Patriots... Earlier in the day, what they do, the Jets follow suit. The Patriots win the division.
That is kind of true, though,
Jets
too.
It
has it been
in.
That. It has gone that way, kind of.
Well, it went that way in the Buffalo, no mm-hmm. question. If Ronnie Brown plays, I like Miami in this game because I don't think the Jets can stop the run.
No.
So I'm going to take Miami.
Just pick Miami. You know you're picking Miami.
All right, I'm picking Miami.
I know. Why do you even bother with a charade?
No, I honestly think the Jets might win this game, especially if the Patriots, well, I don't know. Let's go back to that Patriots
game.
Fred's
confused again.
Sunday at 1. Patriots at Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a 3-point favorite at home.
Patriots win on the road outright. Good matchup. I know we've been pointing to this as a potential. You'll learn something about the Patriots. Are they rolling towards the postseason? Are they putting it together? I'm not sure we necessarily learn that because I think it's a good matchup. I think they'll stop the run. Fred Taylor's out. That helps the Patriots side. They'll stuff that big defensive line and big receivers. And I just think it's a great matchup for the Patriots. They score enough points. It'll be a physical game. But I think they win 24-10, 25-11, whatever I said on TV.
But we might learn something about the Patriots' offense. That's the key.
We might.
I mean, we kind of know.
Is it your turn?
You got a problem with that? I'm talking about what he just said.
We might, but I just think it's a good overall matchup. As Tom said, the cover two, red flag. They're only going to rush with their front four, red flag. Let Brady just pick them apart. Rasheen Mathis is going to cover Kelvin Kite, red flag.
Is
so
this what all your fraud
things.
Talk was about? Because you originally said that you thought
yeah.
Jackson was going to win, but now you've
now he's
your
a fraud.
No. I don't think he's a fraud. He's changing his
well,
mind based on further information.
Yeah, this is the deal. At the beginning of the week, I really liked Jacksonville, but as Andy pointed out, those three things I heard last week, that they don't blitz, the cover two, we keep Rasheen Mathis on one side, to me that all goes Patriots, but here's the problem. I can't go all with Perillo. I'll be going into the last week down two. I'm going to take a shot here and try to cut it to one.
Now he's a fraud again.
What? No, I'm kind of split on the game. I'm going to go against Paul to try to pick up a game. I don't see. What
I'll even give you the. If
I'll
you
tell
want,
you
if
off
you
the
want
air
that,
what
I
I'm
am
thinking.
No, I know
Patriots.
You're taking it. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville. I'm going to stick with my gut, even though my gut got me bankrupt.
Do you want to take the points?
No, I'm going to go with Jacksonville both ways. So if they win, I think they'll win by around 10.
I think the Patriots win, Fred, but this close.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a very tight game. 17-16 okay. is the score I think I used on TV, and I just don't think there's a lot of difference between these teams. I do respect Jacksonville as a home team. Their array of victories, the Dallas, the Giants, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think their defense is
Tennessee,
well,
the Jets.
Tennessee, the Jets. I mean, every team they've beaten at home this year is a quality opponent.
Yeah.
And the one that they lost to was Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that kind of got me changed is the Fred Taylor. Because I think Jones-Drew is effective 12 to 15 a game. Right. I don't think he's effective 20 to 25 carries a game.
I mean, what's his name? Sugar Bear Hamilton was on the radio this morning. He even basically said the same thing about Jones-Drew, is
right.
that he's not the kind of guy that you're going to run all game.
No.
Sugar Bear Hamilton.
So
I'm going to take the Patriots in a very tight game.
I'm going to take the Patriots as well. I think
Shocker.
I said 24-20 on the TV. I'll stick with that. But if they lose, they'll lose big.
I'm looking for both teams to run the ball about 55 times. Just keep that clock running, and let's get home
yep,
and open
yep.
up some presents.
All right. So that does it for the picks. Now we move over to Dan Heffron's Night Before Christmas, which we'll do right after this.
How are you?
Right after.
What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
Hmm. What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Breaks a tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. Get it. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
First round draft pick in 2004. To only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official new replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson. Free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver, face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want to contact too. Autographed in demo, limited to your first bowl of unit qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Okay, as promised, it's time for Dan Heffron's fifth annual Night
and
Before
this better
Christmas.
Be good. God knows we've given him enough ammo.
Tom has been waiting for this since, what, Columbus Day?
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Okay. All right, so without any further ado, 'twas the night before Christmas with the guys from PFW, which means it's time for my fifth annual season in review. Not saying that the poetry is the best here. It's just,
oh, jeez.
Vinatieri.
Well, are we going to get your comments after
no,
every
okay, year? All right. Vinatieri, McGinnis, and Mangini were among those who left the nest. Meanwhile, Tom took part in the first ever PFW hamburger eating contest.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. But the season.
There'll be a litany of things that you forgot
so
about.
So you can comment, but
yeah.
I can't?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
But the season brought us rookies, Maroney and Jackson, who were told had speed to burn. Was the longest quote on the air from Kyle, the math major intern.
Such an idiot.
In the preseason, the Patriots plane to Atlanta was struck by a bolt of lightning, but Fred's backpedaling of High Lawyer was just a little bit more frightening. Patriots fans were in a panic as they let most receivers go, just like there was a panic in the booth for their own Sam Jackson movie, Snakes in a Studio. That's, remember that?
Yeah,
oh, that's right. There was a snake in here.
Going into the season, most saw a 12-4 season in the cards, and Tom offered a free hat and shirt if Corey Dillon gained 1,000 yards. I think it's safe to say there won't be any free hats and shirts.
Look at that douchebag.
The Pats beat Buffalo in a comeback win, even though missing Branch forced Brady to strain. It's time for a shout-out to former PFW guys, Brian, Frank the Tank, and Shane. What's up, guys? The Pats traded Dion to Seattle, and it felt like when the Sox traded away Nomar. Remember when Tom got called out by some idiot blogger in Tacoma?
I forgot about that, yeah. Too.
People wondered who was left to catch the ball. The only early answer was, Ben is. Fred boasted he beat Andy in an epic game of tennis.
That was a great day, too.
I'm still recovering from that.
That was the best day of the off season by far.
I had to close my door and lie on the floor. The Pats beat the Jets through the backs, legs, and Brady's arm. The sheriff got lost in the stadium and set off the fire alarm. The Broncos came to town, and the Pats' offense barely did anything at all. Tom says Paul has an alone complex, and Andy says not too many people like Paul more than Paul. The body language of Tom Brady caused a Patriots Nation ruckus. Paul thinks Halle Berry is both annoying and obnoxious, and he's nuts. She might be annoying, but she's amazing looking.
Tremendous. I didn't say anything about her looks. I said she's annoying and obnoxious.
You spent a lot of time with her.
Oh. Okay.
Did you just lose the email?
Yeah, Fred's confused.
Boy. Take a little break.
Is this the man?
Michael Felger said people picking the Pats over the Bengals were all a bunch of nuts. Fred wanted to kidnap a kicker's wife to test the kicker's guts. That is true. After the Pats beat up on Cincinnati, Hoosh Mazzilli sounded like a punk. Tom thinks Ithaca, New York is a great place to get drunk. It was business as usual as the Pats beat the Dolphins in a field virtually made of sand. When the team goes to China next preseason, will PFW go to Phuket, Thailand?
It's actually pronounced Phuket.
The Patriots won a complete victory with a dominating win in Buffalo. I think it's time we call Ken Flanders the Kaiser Soze of the show.
I reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
And then a little line, just in case you didn't understand that line, it's from The Usual Suspects. We hear about all the things he does behind the scenes. We even heard his voicemail message, but we have never actually seen or heard him on the air, and it is still possible that you guys made him up and he doesn't really exist.
That would be the name we'd give him, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Ken Flanders.
Another blowout victory over the Vikings was next up in the order. When John Rook wanted wild times, he'd cross over the Mexican border.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
The way Brady ran the offense, the Vikings didn't have a shot. Before the Necken show, Fred was attacked by a TV camera robot.
What the fuck? How
does he remember that?
He takes notes or
he
something.
He knows everything.
Losing to the Colts on a Sunday night game filled Pats fans with doom and gloom. This year, PFW got a plug from ESPN's Chris Berman. He's no Heidi Klum.
Hi, this is Heidi Klum. Now that's what you're looking for.
Did we get
for.
A plug that night?
Yeah, he's got the...
Manning got the better of Brady, who threw picks all over the place. Bill Polian didn't go to the press box, so he and Andy didn't fight. And Tom didn't bite his face.
Look at that douchebag.
The Pats lost to the Jets, and the field got torn up while it was raining. Fred joked that Andy was the sole reason for company-wide sensitivity training.
You sucked that bone dry.
The tension coach had for Mangini was real. Belichick was downright chilly after the game. Brave, broken, and cross my are all suggestions for Andy's future son's name.
Cross my.
I just got that. Yeah. It took me a while.
That was a good one.
The no back-to-back losses streak ended. The upcoming Green Bay game, they needed to win it. Antonio was going to be mad listening to this because he's on dial-up, paying by the minute.
The Pats. Remember that? I don't know if you were down here. This guy yelled at us for talking about vacuums and stuff because he has dial-up internet and he pays by the minute.
Oh, what a loser.
The Pats got back on track, beating the Pack by more than 30. Paul thinks Evangeline Lilly from Lost is hot even when she's dirty.
No question.
The Pats beat the Bears in a turnover-filled game. The quarterbacks threw multiple picks each. Let's check in on the press room. I think Doug Flutie is still giving his retirement speech.
And kind of reinstilled my confidence in myself at the quarterback position.
The Detroit game was up next, and we all thought it would be a no-brainer. The sheriff used to hook up with some married clients back when he was a personal trainer. Way to go, Tom. The Pats were disappointed. The Pats just squeaked past the Lions when they were expecting a slaughter. Tom is worried with Andy and Paul both having boys, he is destined to have a daughter.
No question about that.
A shutout loss to Miami gave the Patriots' nation psyche a terrible blow. Tom's comeback 2 years ago, I was banging 19-year-old blonde girls, was the best in the history of the show. After that, some of the players in the locker room seemed pretty tense, but others were loosey-goosey. Paul had a mini Michael Felger incident, which was resolved with a headlock from Teddy Bruschi.
That's true.
The Pats whipped up on Houston, but for that game's effect on the Pats' future, no one really cares. We anxiously followed the saga of Paul's Christmas present to his wife, a second vacuum for upstairs. PFW has an old soundbite. Bonnie Bernstein is hot, but Susie Colbert is hotter. But Andy had the soundbite of the year. It went in as a hot dog, but went out as orange fire water.
It went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
He did get it in.
With the lack of Pro Bowl selections for the Pats this week, we'll find out if they step up or sit there sulking. How can you believe I made it almost all the way through this without a bad joke about Brian and Macaulay Culkin? To Fred Zeppelin.
You succeeded there.
To Fred Zeppelin, the incredible Shrinking Andy, Sheriff Tom, Disco Paul, and Gary the Sound God, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, one and all. Now I'm off like Matt Castle's free iPod. All right, well, that's it. Very good.
Thanks very much.
Well played.
Dan and
Fairfax. Very good.
Once again, he delivered.
Yep.
He must take notes as things happen.
Yeah. John Rook made it. Into
John
the,
Rook and his yep. Mexican escapades made it. Sucky, sucky. And he doesn't have a microphone. Scrambling we have behind the scenes here.
John, how are you?
Excellent.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Shalom.
Bilo's not here.
Kwanzaa.
Will you be watching? Okay, he doesn't have. He's
yeah, but he can hear you.
Yeah,
well,
I can
right.
hear you.
He has ears attached to his head.
Will you be watching football on Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
I will.
So this
will you?
Oh, of course I will.
Yes.
Fred's mad at me because I'm kind of upset that I'm probably going to have to miss the Christmas games because, you know, I'm doing family stuff and whatnot.
Well, I understand if you have
not family because
stuff,
I don't want to watch football on Christmas. I'm just upset that I can't really watch football on Christmas. And well, Fred's all mad at
Paul,
me. He called me Mother Teresa.
Paul, I can fix all this. Do what I did and have your family not talk to you for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
then you don't
know,
have to worry about
you don't have to worry about it. I like my family and I like my wife's family.
Well, now
that's my problem.
There's the problem you run into.
Sure. No, yeah, we'll be watching a little football. We'll manage to work some in, I'm quite certain. Quite certain.
So I heard you and young Andy had a little tete-a-tete yesterday.
No, we didn't have anything.
Well, he's a little Mother Teresa in his own right. A guy uses steroids once and suddenly his career's over.
I heard you slapped him around a little bit.
Well, you know how Andy gets offended.
I love
how
things...
If you think people on steroids...
Exactly. They don't deserve their accomplishments.
Yeah.
You know,
I also
someone doth protest too much.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I also love how things tend to grow.
Like the Dartmouth High rushing records.
Nowhere near those. Andy simply thinks, Paul, that a guy like Sean Merriman, you know, he's done his time and he should be, you know, open to, you know, anything and everything that is afforded to him through the National Football League.
Did the time.
I don't disagree, but what I'm saying is the rules should be changed.
If
the man cheated in order to gain an unfair advantage and therefore perhaps lead to him being a Pro Bowl player, I do not believe he deserves to go to the Pro Bowl.
Well, Peter King was on the radio today and he kind of had an explanation for this.
And I know ifs and buts.
He said that the test that this guy took that he failed was in August.
Okay.
So assuming that
he cheated way back then.
He hasn't done anything since then.
This is the most naive view, I think, of all of the views is
what
Peter
King
is going here.
You know, assuming he hasn't done anything since then, because after you fail that, you can be tested up to 10 times a month.
Okay.
Is it fair to say that something he did in August was still benefiting him now?
Yes,
because
of course
still
it is.
Playing
absolutely.
Yes.
Of course it
I
is.
I don't know. I don't know how steroids
yes.
work. Don't they go away? I mean, look at you.
Yeah.
You shrunk faster than a dry sponge.
That's because I'm natural.
That's the line of the year right there.
Well, that was pretty good. That delivered. You had it all there, Fred. For once, you delivered.
That was almost
after the poem.
Gary,
I mean,
we need a rim shot. We need a rim shot.
That was almost as good as the Charlie Brown one.
I'll be here all week. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, but it won't be good the rest of the week.
We're out on a high note. Actually, you are Costanza. You should get the hell out of here.
The other part of that is, first of all, why I have no idea why they picked the Pro Bowls before the season's over. So they played 14 games and they pick it, whatever. Okay. Yeah. So that's one. So you're only dealing with 14 games and he missed four of them.
Right.
I think there's an argument to be made that someone that played 14 games is more deserving, even though they may not have been quite as dynamic as Merriman. I kind of agree with John. I think not necessarily because of the cheating, but he missed four games and was suspended. He was caught, and you still reward him.
Yeah, what kind of message is that?
That's not sending any kind of a message. It's sending a message that
some people cheat and get away with cheating.
Yeah, you got to sit out a month, but we'll still reward.
And you can take it the whole way, just the way the NFL handled it. Roger Goodell saying, It's not an NFL problem. It's a San Diego problem. What?
Yeah.
You can't have guys that are openly cheating.
No, they got to have
a rule.
Suspend
them and say you wash your hands of it.
During the season for any reason,
you shouldn't
don't go
be eligible.
Pro Bowl.
You shouldn't be eligible.
Yeah.
And that's an NFL problem. I mean, now, Andy's right. Current rules, he can go.
And
he can be voted on.
And
that part's true.
And I agree with Andy also. Okay, the punishment is you get suspended for four games. Okay, that's it. You come back, and now you get on with your career. That's fine. But I don't think you should have Pro Bowls and whatnot, mm-hmm. but
I don't think so either. It's rewarding someone who is who's trying to deceive you and everybody, and perhaps even his own self, into thinking he's something else.
Here?
That's
don't you worry about us. It's a good little banter on a crossover.
Yeah. I thought you liked crossover. You're always shooing me in there to help bail these guys out.
Gary's gonna go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, that'll be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday, with our own little version of a Christmas Eve show, I guess. And then next week, I don't even know what the schedule is. We'll go over next week's schedule
tomorrow. That's true, Fred. We will, because we'll have a fat, jolly, funny man, you.
Wow.
Tom, what is it? You've been hanging around Andy too long. Yeah,
no,
he said it. He's a big boy.
No. Fred, did you not dole out big enough bonuses this year?
Bonus?
Big enough.
Any.
No, the only thing big enough is Fred.
Whoa!
Wow. Booyah.
Woo. All right. Well, Tom's going to see my bad side pretty soon. All right. That'll be it. We'll see you tomorrow.